United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! longer we can listen about the massacre in Ukraine.
Hold on. Local call, your mic is on. Oh, they're gone too.
Are you sure they're on?
Oh, we're halfway up.
Okay. Happy.
How can you have a Friday without happy?
Well, they were on that line.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't even gotten to this yet.
I'm joining in with the. Where in the world are we? We're not on.
Here we are.
Hello, folks. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Youngstown.
Here we are. Jeff's trying to tend to my business here. We're happy.
I'm not on.
You are on, Jeff.
Turn up number one. The microphone.
We can hear you. You're just not loud.
No, I'm not on it at all.
You're on.
I'm not now. See, I'm bobbing your needle now.
But you were on before.
How far up is that?
It's
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Take it back to 1.
Take it down because he's loud.
Take it to 1 o'clock.
Take it to 1 o'clock.
He's loud. Yes, he's always loud.
Back.
Yeah, backwards to 1.
Can you say, Mark?
Are we together yet?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
The thunderstorms that rolled through yesterday.
You know, that may have done that.
That was loud.
Sure. That may have done that last night.
The Lord talking. I should do something.
And I usually come in here and the board is all set up and everything is good. I got to go talk to the engineer and tell him, listen, when the power goes out, they got to give me a warning. You know, I'm going to go watch Despicable Me.
Got to.
I think it's Despicable Me too. Yeah.
But I gotta watch this. I didn't know Despicable had a me.
I didn't know it was a movie. I thought that's what people were calling me because I keep saying, Mark, you're despicable.
So it makes no sense, but you're real happy doing it.
Well, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Everything technological is crazy today. Nothing is where it's supposed to be.
And we had thunderstorms last night, folks. And it was, you know, February, and it wasn't just that little rumble when you get thunder snow sometimes. I mean,
it
was lightning and thunder.
Man, my sump pump is working like you would not believe.
Mine, too.
I changed mine a few months ago, right?
So yours is quiet?
It's quieter than the last one, because I'm gonna tell you what, I can be asleep and not hear this one, but my other one, man, it would go on and off all the from the very beginning. So I don't know.
You guys have issues.
But I mean, it was fun. I mean, it's, you know, I felt really accomplished changing my own sump pump. You have to say that's a major thing.
That's testosterone.
I had to clean out the MIP. Yeah, but. But see, wifey likes that too. Oh, you fixed the sump pump.
Can I tell you guys a secret?
I'm proud of you, Daddy.
Can I tell you all a secret?
She says, Daddy.
Can I tell you all a secret?
What's that?
You fixed your sump pump?
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell y'all a secret.
What's the secret?
She wasn't proud of y'all. She was just making you feel good.
But you know what? She did.
My wife
it accomplished what you wanted to do.
My wife wouldn't let me near the sump pump. I said, "Is the sump pump working? Don't go down there."
Mark.
She gets trouble. I get a hammer and a screwdriver. She says, she goes, she panics. Because, you know, mangy men, we don't.
Mangy men don't do that?
We don't do that.
Do you change light bulbs?
Yeah, I can change light bulbs.
That's good.
But my son has to come with me to hold the light.
I was going to say, how many mangy men does it take
it
to change
two.
Light bulbs?
It takes two men to change a light bulb?
You know, I'm an Episcopalian. That's the old joke. How many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? Three. Two to mix the martinis and one to call the electrician.
That's a good one.
Jeez, oh, man.
Did you used to go to St. John's?
St. James out in Bort.
Oh, St. James. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. The old traditional church out there.
Yeah, well, it's okay, I guess. It's the oldest Episcopal church west of the Allegheny Mountains. And it is the parent church for St. John's and also the cathedral up in Cleveland.
There you go. My mother used to be a vocalist, a soloist for St. John's.
Yeah?
During the days of Mr. Ron Gould and all of those people there out there.
That's a beautiful
Weigel.
Old church. We went to the, for the first time, I went to the Boar's Head Festival in January up there.
The Boar's Head in Hanbear Eye.
That's it.
Bedecked with bays and rosemary. Man, I used to love that every year.
It's I was surprised what a spectacle it was. I mean, they had 100 people up there.
Uh-huh. And a real Boar's Head.
Wow. Yeah, they're parading up and down. They got jugglers, and they got people doing acrobatics in the aisle, and a beautiful chorus. And
The boar's head, as I understand, the finest dish in all the land.
Good morning. You're on the air. Welcome to, I'm not quite sure, but I thought it was Tracy and Friends, but you never know, it's Friday.
It's the Boar's Head Festival.
I didn't even get to open. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
Hey, I'm calling to get some information about the basketball game that you'll be broadcasting tonight from Canfield. Salem comes to Canfield for the last regular season game, and I talked with one of your announcers. And I'm the athletic director at Canfield. I'm trying to give him the information that he'd asked. He was going to send a message via email, but I just copied it.
Well, listen here. You're live on the air on Tracy.
Well, that's great.
On Tracy
that's
and Friends.
We can talk about the game tonight if you want.
We can talk about the game because I just want you to know that I'm not going to do you Jimmy Fallon and or Dave Letterman that just let you spoof. But you can tell us if you want. You're calling me to find out about the game. And,
well, I just need to send some information to your announcer, but
let me tell you.
The game here
now, wait, I can. Do you want me to write this down?
He wants to get some information. That would be bad. But if you want to give me some information about the game, since you're
sure.
live listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600,
sure.
What time
does
the game come on?
Well, the game is tonight here at Canfield. It's the JVs play at 5:30, and the varsity game is at 7:00. And Canfield is hosting Salem. And the two schools used to be in the same conference. They're not now, but this is a non-conference game. And we're glad to have the Quakers coming north here. This, like I said, will be the last regular season game before both schools go off to play in the tournament. Canfield's had a pretty successful year at 17-4.
That's good.
And Salem, not quite as good. They're at 7-14 overall.
Whoa!
So, you know, like you say, we're up here hoping to be good hosts to the Quakers, but at the same time, we hope to win the game.
What league is Canfield in?
Canfield is in the All-American Conference, and we're in the American Division of the All-American Conference. Salem is in the Northeastern Buckeye Conference now, and so we don't play each other as much in sports as we have in the past. Unless we get together and schedule non-conference events across the board. But we still see each other now and then.
What schools are in your conference?
Canfield has, in our division, it's Austintown-Fitch, Howland, Poland Seminary, Hubbard, Struthers, and Niles.
Wow.
What is your name?
That's pretty good.
Oh, I'm Greg Cooper. I'm the athletic director at Canfield High School.
Hey, Greg Cooper, how are you? Good morning.
I'm very well. I didn't know I'd get on the air, but I'll never turn down a chance to to promote high school sports in general and Canfield in particular.
Well, I have a question for you, and then I'm going to give you a number that you need to call.
Right.
The question is, how important is athletics to academics?
Well, that's an interesting question. The idea here and throughout the state is that athletics can be an important part of the educational process. And in fact, we talk a lot about, a lot of the athletic directors in our professional organizations, we talk about educational-based athletics, in that as you try to develop young men and women morally, mentally, and physically, athletics, physical activity, can, beyond just learning how to play a sport, you can teach them some very important life lessons in athletics. The ability to be dedicated toward a goal or cause, working as a member of a team, learning how to subjugate initial desires or immediate desires for long-term goals. And, in fact, it's an important part of sort of the educational triad, if you will, if it's run properly. And certainly that's the goal with educational-based athletics is to have the athletic fields as an extension of the classroom.
That's great. So Canfield has a football team, basketball team.
I assume
the baseball team.
Oh, you bet.
Golf.
Golf.
Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Wow. What else you got?
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, we've got the.
I'm going to go back to school. This sounds good.
Well, we're fortunate. We, like a lot of schools, have an awful lot of offerings, so that there's a sport probably for just about everyone.
Wow,
here at Canfield, in addition to the traditional sports of basketball and track and cross-country and football. In baseball, we have softball, we have bowling, certainly cross country.
They're almost like we were when we were in school. We had it all.
Yeah, we even have hockey, believe it or not.
Wow.
We're the only local area that has hockey, a local area school that has hockey.
Where do you guys practice at?
They use the ice zone over in Boardman is their home.
That's great.
And then, of course, we play soccer and volleyball in the fall, and we have a swimming team
and
boys and girls tennis. So we're fortunate.
Do you have lacrosse?
No, not officially, although we have
a
budding lacrosse team in that there are parents and students who are in the process of developing a kind of as a club team with the idea that hopefully they'd be recognized down the road as a school sport. The only school, I think, right now that's in locally that's got a team is Cardinal Mooney, although I know that Poland and Boardman are doing, I don't know, somewhat similar to what we're doing, where they're trying to see if there's enough sustained interest to warrant having a school team. So, you know, lacrosse could be something that we see down the road, depending on, you know, if people really want to play it. It's a popular and very popular sport in some parts of the country and state, but it hasn't really made the inroads here yet.
You guys got a good baseball team too.
We've been fortunate. We've been fortunate to have had some success in baseball. We won a state championship, I think, back in 07 at the Division II level, and then our girls followed suit the year later in softball. But yeah, we hope to be competitive, and again, we often play Salem in baseball and softball since we're relatively similar in size and in nature and not too far apart.
I am the number that you need to call is 724-346-4113.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you
very much.
And you guys thought I couldn't give out a number slow.
You make sure you have his name. We have to have him on as a guest talk about high school athletics. This is great.
What, Mark? We just got done talking about high school athletics.
Yeah, I'm talking him for a regular show.
For a regular show?
Yeah, get him in here. And
I'll give him a call.
It must be karma.
Always. Everything is for a reason.
Well, great. Well, I very much appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. And if you ever want to really promote what's going on in athletics and Canfield, give us a call and we'll do some stuff.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate the unexpected opportunity to talk sports. Take care.
Not a problem. Have a blessed day. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I think we got it all together. I want to thank the athletic director from Canfield for calling in, even though he didn't know he's calling in. I don't know where the judge
Surprise.
Is, but we're here. The number is 347-945-5229. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. And you guys know I'm happy, so I'm at a 12 a.m. happy. The song is 24 hours.
I know it is.
It goes to all kinds of people doing all kinds of stuff.
They also use it on a commercial. I forget what yes. commercial it is. I thought, I know that song.
And everybody says, that's Tracy's song. That's good. I can take credit for it.
So what's going on? You got any big plans this weekend?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be speaking at a women's retreat tomorrow morning.
Wow.
Oh, actually all day.
Yeah.
And it starts tonight.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be doing that. It's going to be here in Boardman. And so I'm preparing for that. And Sunday, I'm going to spend some time with my family.
That's great. So what's the women's retreat about? Is it just women's issues, or is it a?
It's a spiritual retreat.
Yeah.
The theme is For Such a Time as This, coming from Esther.
Okay.
And I don't know how many people are going to be there, but I'm going to be there, and we're going to have a good time, and we're going to minister and enjoy one another and fellowship, and have a good day. So that's on my Saturday, and then on Sunday. I'm going to do some family time. I'm going to spend some time with my mom and take her around where she wants to go and take some stuff back.
Your mom's a sweetheart.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. I have a question for you guys, because this came up in conversation last night. When do your children no longer become yours, become the state's?
What?
There is a case, I believe, over in Pennsylvania, and I do not know the particulars of it, because I really can't Google much of it, because all I know is I don't know enough of it, but I do know that the family, the child needs medical care,
mm-hmm.
because a child either has cancer or leukemia or has something,
yeah.
something's going on with the child. And because of the belief of the parents, and the religious beliefs of the parents, they will not seek after medical care.
Uh-huh.
And so the hospital or the children's services, someone took the family to court, and I'm just assuming, but I believe the court ruled in favor of the family.
Hold on.
I'm telling you what I don't know. I preface this by saying I don't know all the particulars of the case. But it's my understanding that the judge gave the family the right to not treat. And so the question that they had asked me was, what, did I think that was the right decision? And I said, I believe that because I believe that children are given to the parents for their governance and their authority for them to raise as they see fit. And when the government comes in and changes what goes on in your home, then you're opening up a can of worms.
Ms. Tracy, was it
I don't know.
That organization
I don't know.
That I don't like to talk about?
I don't
about?
Know. I don't know. All I know, I don't know if it was the JWs. All I know.
I don't know a whole lot about that particular topic. All I know is what I've learned. All the law I know I've learned on Law and Order.
There you go.
And that topic has been addressed several times on Law and Order. But some of the theories behind it are that everybody is a person in the eyes of the law. And what happens is, as I understand the procedures, if the patient's taken in and the doctor says, this person's going to die unless we treat him, and that this certainly comes up with a lot of the Christian Scientists. Is one religion where it comes up. Amish is another religion where
correct.
It comes up a lot.
And Jehovah's Witness,
yeah. They when you go into court, the court appoints what's called a guardian ad litem. And this is an attorney who speaks for the welfare of the child, and that attorney represents the child in a dispute between the state and the parents. The law always errs on the welfare of the child. I don't know. That's what it's supposed to do. You know, what is in the best welfare of the child? And my suspicions would be that in some circumstances, if it's not life-threatening, I would assume that the court would rule in favor of the parents.
It did.
And defer. On the other hand, if it means if we don't give the kid the medicine, he's going to be dead in 8 weeks,
but
the kid's going to get the medicine.
But that's not my question.
Yeah.
My question is, when does the when do I lose my right as a parent on how I govern my children? Because the reason why I'm asking this is because I'm digging deeper into this more so as in how what I teach my children, how I raise my children, the belief of my child, how I punish my children. I mean, because remember, we talked about this. I think, Jeff, you and I have talked about this because of Melissa Carey talking about the children or the communities.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Melissa Perry Harris.
Yeah, she's crazy. And I don't believe
that. You're asking the wrong question. It's not a matter of when. It's where you draw the line.
Well,
from the minute the child is born,
okay,
you know, the state's going to have an interest in what happens with that child. So, for example, the parent is expected to provide a certain degree of care. The child needs to be fed. And
okay.
If the parent says, I don't want to feed the child, the state's going to come in and take the child
for
away
neglect.
And feed the child.
That's correct.
So where do you draw that line? Where is the line drawn? Rather, when does the state have an interest in the child?
Okay.
The day the child's born.
So let me ask this. Where do you draw the line? If you don't like the question, you can rephrase it.
Okay.
So when do you say when? Because they're getting to the place now that the line is moving.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that moving line. Let's start with what we know. We know that the children have to be schooled.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they're going, and so now they're pushing the line. Now in Canfield, we had the guy from Canfield on. The issue is mandatory kindergarten. Now they're talking about mandatory preschool.
Okay.
So we know that it's okay for the state to require you to go to school when you're 7 years old, up until you're over 16, and you can decide you don't want to go to school anymore.
Okay.
All right. We know that's where the lines are. So we also know that, you know, is mandatory kindergarten? Yeah, I think that's pretty much settled. You're going to go to kindergarten. What about mandatory preschool? I don't know if that line can go that far.
Sure.
So where is the line going to be drawn? The line might be drawn, but it's going to be a blurred line, no pun intended. Because it's going to differ from place to place and situation to situation.
You know, I'm looking at the picture of those
people. Yeah,
they look crazy.
I know, but hold on. Let me bring Sticks in because I think Sticks has already read it. Hey, Sticks, how are you?
Yeah. There were two cases. There's one in West Virginia where the people are just absolutely insane. Their kid got pneumonia. They refused all medical treatment. The kid died. They were convicted of murder. That's recent. But the big one right now is there's a young lady. She's now 16. She was diagnosed with a autoimmune gastrointestinal problem at Tufts University Hospital. She got the flu. The doctors at Tufts sent her to Boston Children's. Boston Children's said, no, she doesn't have condition. She's got a mental disorder, and it's brought on by the parents. So they removed the custody of the child from the parents, slapped a restraining order on the parents so they couldn't speak of it, and put the child in psychiatric care. They also removed, she had some kind of a colostomy bag, they removed that. The day before she went into Boston Children's, she was ice skating. Now she's in a wheelchair. And that's what that second case is all about, is what does the state have the right to tell a parent that they have to shut up about the way their children's being treated? And so that's kind of the crux of the big case that's going on in the country right now.
I'm not aware.
Well, no, the one I'm talking about, I just found on The Blaze. It says a faith healing couple from Pennsylvania has been sentenced to between three and a half to seven years in prison. So that was the other case.
Right.
Because
that's
they
the
refused
first,
to take.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
Refused to take a doctor.
Not West Virginia. Right.
They refused to take their son to a doctor for treatment. And
right,
this is the second
right.
child that they've killed.
Right, right. That's one, okay, because I was in and out, and I didn't hear all of what you said. But there's a second case, too, of the one with the girl at Boston Children's, and that's also on The Blaze. And the second one is the one that, to me, that's more egregious, because at first they slapped a restraining order, a gag order on the parents, because Glenn Beck interviewed the father, and he's being threatened with jail time now.
But see, my question is, when do I have the right or not the right to raise my children where outside influences can come in, whether it be in what I teach my children religiously, whether in how I raise them, and or what I will and will not allow, even in the medical treatment? I tend to be more... take the kid to the doctor group. But if I choose not to get my child vaccinated, is that my choice?
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
Not unless you're going to homeschool.
Yeah, not anymore.
So if I'm going to homeschool,
and that goes back to Mark's schooling thing. You know, do I have a right to homeschool? And who has a right to tell me what I have to teach my children in my homeschool?
Correct.
Well, there's a German couple here now that left Germany. So they could homeschool, the president's getting ready to send them back because he's saying
right.
that they are of a low character because of that right there.
So when is my child no longer my child but a child of the state?
It's from the day one, Tracy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's from the day the child's born.
No, I disagree with that. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. The state,
it depends on
in my opinion.
The state. The state sticks. People are going to. You can't starve the child. You can't beat the child. You've got states where you're not allowed to spank the child. I mean, there's all sorts of things that are going on that are defining what the right of the parent is versus the right of the child. Now, morally, whether it ought to be that way is another issue. But there are some certain things that the state's got to protect the child from. So, is it okay to spank a child? I think so. Is it okay to beat the crap out of a child? Probably not.
But my question is, we're getting to the place right now that the line keeps on moving.
Right.
Well, it's got to move because you have different situations that are arising. Because now you have, same-sex couples, and now the line is going to move again, because every time that you change – a social, situation, well, then a whole new set of rules drop in. And so, government is really inept at dealing with this stuff.
I got to take a break in a minute. You're listening to Dave, I'll bring you back while I get done with my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. But listen, this is my issue. I'm looking at something right now, and it says that, Girl Scout cookies are it's time.
Yeah.
And there, I guess, in California, you know, they have medical marijuana facilities where they advertise like everyone else. And so the young lady, she set up to sell her cookies outside of the medical marijuana store. What would you say about that?
She sold way more there than she sold the next day at the Save-A-Lot. I know that much.
You're listening again to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Youngstown State students prepare for a tuition hike. The school's Board of Trustees have approved a 2.38% increase for undergrads for the fall semester. That equates to $7.83 per credit hour. Graduate students will pay more. They'll see a 3% tuition hike. That's $13.19 more per credit hour. Flooding concerns rise during this short burst of warm weather. Officials are urging homeowners to take precautions if you haven't already. Check your sump pumps to make sure they're operating and take those personal items out of your basement. And a 24-year-old Poland village man pleaded not guilty to unlawful sexual contact with a minor. Police say Matthew Slavin smoked pot with a 14-year-old girl, then had sex with her. Her mother was the one that alerted officials about the relationship after discovering text messages on her daughter's phone. Slavin posted bail and is awaiting his next court date. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Oh, great master, I have traveled far to seek your wisdom. Speak to me.
Close the door, it's cold.
Sir, I crave the meaning of life.
How do you earn your bread, my son?
Well,
do you till the soil?
No.
Do you tend sheep?
I'm in advertising, sir.
Advertising. Fascinating.
Yes, sir, I'm in a big hurry. I have to be in Fiji tomorrow to shoot a television commercial.
Fiji?
Yeah, we found a place there that looks exactly like Columbus, Ohio.
Why not go to Columbus, Ohio?
Look, I'm just here for some wisdom.
All right, let me check my wisdom book, see what we can
thank
find.
Thank you. Yeah.
Go with radio.
What?
Look to me like a fantastic buy.
I wanted important wisdom.
This is important. Listen, newspaper cost per thousand is up 99% since 1967. TV is up 90%.
Sir.
But radio cost is only up 38%.
38%.
And it says radio's audience is bigger than ever.
But what about happiness and stuff?
Use radio. It's great impact at a price you can still afford, and you'll be very happy.
That's it?
Yeah. And when you go out, close the door real tight, because
it's cold
in here and I got a runny nose.
Next time you're talking to an authority on advertising, ask about radio.
Get your business noticed. Call 330-783-1000.
Did you know that life insurance prices have dropped to all-time lows? A healthy 40-year-old male can now apply for $500,000 of term life insurance for less than $20 per month. A $1 million policy can cost as little as $33 per month. The LifeQuotes free price comparison service is fast and easy. Call 1-800-652-4138. That's 1-800-652-4138. With LifeQuotes, you can instantly compare the rates of dozens of leading life insurance companies and view the lowest possible rates in seconds without having to give any personal information. Tens of thousands have saved money buying life insurance through LifeQuotes. There's also instant decision plans that require no medical exam and plans that offer early payouts in case you need long-term care. And if your health is less than perfect, you can still get affordable life insurance.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Clap along if you feel
what I want everyone to say this weekend. Nothing can bring me down over this weekend. And have a really good, a happy weekend and a good day today.
If you feel like a room without a roof, 'cause I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth, 'cause I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And today is the 21st of February, 2014. And it is 45 minutes after the hour. And I brought up this case because I was finding it very, very interesting because, as I said to Jeff during the break, I said, you know, my child is my child, and I should have a choice of what goes on with my child. Even though I don't have children, that's just how I feel. And if I'm not abusing my child past which is inhumane,
right?
If I'm beating my child and abusing my child, not feeding my child, not clothing my child, and I'm doing things that are inhumane, and yes, I should that child should be removed from my care because I have shown that there's a standard that I've shown that I am not a fit parent when it comes to taking care of someone outside of me. But outside of that, how I raise my child, how I navigate my child through this life, it should be up to the parent. And that's just my personal feelings.
Uh-huh. I'm looking at, I've been, this is a very long article I'm reading about this over here. It's not as cut and dry as you would think it is.
You're talking about the second case, the 16-year-old with the mental conditions and...
Yeah, and...
Because my question...
Boston Children's Hospital thing. It's really kind of interesting. It's the perfect storm where you're going to have all these issues kind of bopping up into one.
But where does the parents come in? I mean, because after a while, if doctors are fighting about care and it's my child, then I either need to move the child to a different facility and go get a third, I bring them to Cleveland Clinic, and or I need to say, well, I trust this doctor more. But if you're bringing courts in and you're doing all this, and the court says you as a parent no longer have.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, and what they're saying in this particular case, and it's really kind of interesting. First of all, the doctor that was treating her had some association with that hospital in Massachusetts. He went to Tufts.
Okay.
But he has a unique way of diagnosing patients
okay.
with a disease that was only marked as a disease in the mid-1980s. It's a non-traditional way of diagnosing folks with various diseases. And the doctor at Tufts also knew that there were mental issues involved with this girl.
Okay.
And that the parents' hospital shop, they kept taking her from hospital to hospital to hospital to hospital. And each one of these hospitals, the doctors would tell us something they didn't want to hear, they'd move the girl to another hospital. The doctor would tell us something they didn't want to hear, they'd move her to another hospital. Or they were treating her, then the parents started to fight. The parents were very difficult people. And they ended up at Massachusetts General because they went there because they couldn't get to where this other doctor was. There was a snowstorm, and they ended up at Massachusetts when this girl got sick. And they've examined her, and they say basically, and I'm going to, it's Munchausen syndrome. They're talking about the mother where she's actually fostering the illness so she can be. For attention, and this is what they're looking at with her.
Gotcha.
And it's just like the perfect storm of all these things coming together. And, you know, I'm less concerned about the parent and more concerned. This girl's 16 years old.
So she can start making her own choices.
She can start making her own choices. So where is the representative for the girl? And I'm not – when I'm reading here, I'm not seeing the representative for the girl.
Right. Okay.
And all these doctors are fighting, and the parents are fighting, and the hospital's fighting, and the girl is kind of left out in the cold.
And that's
what disturbs me. You know, she needs her own voice.
Yeah, and the judge has made a decision.
Speaking of the judge,
yeah.
I just got a call from her. I got a text from her. She is stuck in a meeting this morning, and
okay.
she's gonna call in. But we'll catch her as she comes down the road. Diva, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning.
Here's my thoughts on it. I kind of disagree with you because I don't feel that children are our children. I feel like they don't belong to us. I feel like we're just guardians getting them through life. And I don't feel that a person should make a life or death decision for another person. That person should have the right to live, whether they're in the womb or outside the womb. And whatever we can do to ensure that they're able to live, and if that means getting medical treatment to ensure that, then so be it. I don't think any parent should have the right to make a life decision like that for their child, even if it's based on religion, because as we know, some religions can be a little kooky and step outside the boundaries of the Bible, because it's just so heartbreaking that a child could die because their parent is making a decision based on their mixed up feelings when it comes to religion.
I'm not trying to hone in on just this one case. I'm talking about overall. So you believe that children should be children of the state, and you are just there to care for them, and
there
should be outside influences.
No, I don't see them as children of the state. I don't see them as children of the state.
Diva,
as a Christian.
Sweetheart, today we are not going through this. I will mute you completely. I'm not doing it today, just as long as you know that. It's going to be it's going to be open dialogue one-to-one, or it won't be at all. If you aren't in the opposite, I want to hear your stand, but I want you to get it out and then let somebody to say what they're going to say and then come back. Because if you're saying that you believe that my decision can be trumped by outside influences just based upon they don't like my decision.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
So my child who's on life support, and I say that I want to leave my child on, the government should be able to come in and tell me I need to take my child off, even if I have the money to keep my child on.
Right, but if you say, okay, I want to let my child go.
And the government says, well, I don't want you to let your child go.
No, we're going to make sure that you do it.
Right, I got a problem with that.
Right.
Well, I mean, parents make life and death decisions for their children from the time they're born until they're young adults. I mean, you could say that allowing your child to mow the grass can be a life and death decision. At what point do you let your child run the lawnmower?
See, there's my questioning. Well, there's a lot of things that go on, but there are children, and they say, well, listen, your child has leukemia, and you've watched your child get shots, and you watch your child go through the process of this,
uh-huh.
And you say, well, you know, we're just not going to do the treatment anymore. We're done.
Right.
We're going to take my child home, let her hair grow, and we're going to let her play in the sandbox. We're going to let her have whatever life she has from now on, we're going to let her live it until she can no longer live it again, and we're going to make her comfortable. But I'm not going to put her through any more medical procedures.
Right, because chemotherapy is
kill you.
Sometimes worse on the body than the disease is.
So when do I have a choice to make that choice?
Yeah.
And when does I have a choice not to make that choice and let an outside influence come in and take it? Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. I worked with cases like this, and I supervised a case of a family where there was drinking in the home and neglect of the children. And we took them into foster care, and while in foster care, the little girl developed cancer. And the foster family fell in love with her, and they cared beautifully for her. But I knew that her birth family loved her, and we had a very difficult Solomon decision about who was entitled to care for her. And I did something that was very unusual. I advocated for the family. And I remember the judge said, "You sure you want to do that?" And I said, "Yes." You know, they do love her. It was a neglectful mother, an abusive home. And I said, "As long as Dad is, you know, in alcohol treatment, and we'll watch them very carefully." So we switched our focus to trying to help them care for their daughter. We arranged the transportation to get her up to Cleveland for her chemotherapy. And when we saw that she was deteriorating in the home, and they couldn't get her to eat, and they didn't have the skill in parenting that the foster family did. We talked with them, and we asked them, you know, how do you feel about returning her to foster care? And they agreed. And
but
it seems like yesterday.
Wow.
But the best we did, she died. And it was a beautiful thing, Tracy, because you did have both of those parents at one point vying for, you know, competitively for the care of that little girl. And in the end, that father thanked the family for caring for her. It was such a beautiful thing. And we had a local funeral home that donated the burial funeral services. Everybody in the community came together. Now, this is years ago. But I just thought, you know, if people really did have their heart in the right place, as difficult as these decisions are, you could come together and try to problem solve if you really focus on the child and the child's need.
God bless you, sis.
And it was so hard.
I mean, because I can imagine, because, I mean, you're dealing with a family. You're dealing with you're dealing with people. But I'm dealing with you know, whatever, because my concern is what's going to happen if we're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
Is they're going to come and tell me that I can't teach my children my belief system, because they'll say that it is intolerant to the external well-being of their existence.
Well, you know, I even think back when we don't have these encounters today, but remember when Abraham had to take Isaac up to the mountain?
Yes.
And he truly felt that God was leading him. Just imagine how a case like that would be received today. If somebody said, I know that God is speaking to me and telling me.
Oh, you couldn't, you can't
never
do that.
Happened.
No.
But even
the simple things, if I tell that I'm going to, I believe in recycling clothes. I'm not going to let my child walk out and look like a prostitute. So I'm not going to let my young man walk out and not have a belt on. And if they decide, well, they're going to be ostracized because of that, well, my kids are going to be left out, because this is not how young men work. I'm going to say this, and I've got about 3 minutes before I go to break. Mark Manji is a real stickler on a shirt and tie. And I kid you not, and it's really amazing in 2014. And so his son, every time that they were going to be doing something, Mark said, it was a rule of the house that they were going to be in those men were going to be in a shirt and tie. And his son was going to be in that tie, and I'm quite sure he's been wearing ties since he was a toddler. And I'm quite sure he got a little flack because he showed up at work one day with a tie on, and we gave him a whole lot of flack just because he didn't. He was a grown man. But because of how he was raised, and who comes along and tells me one day that he can no longer, you can't make him do that. He has choices of his own, and you can't make him do that way.
I was going to say, look at now with the diet.
If you or someone you...
They're not allowing people to determine what kind of lunch the children will have.
The other thing
is this bullying. If they were held to the same standard in school as they're holding parents in the home, then they would not allow bullying, and they'd have a real tight program. But you see where it's a double standard. They're saying we can't handle this issue.
So, Mark?
I agree with what you're saying. But it's a two-sided problem. The first problem is that the state's trying to do it, and the second problem is parents are willing to let the state do it.
Are they willing to let the state do it, or are they ignorant of what the state is doing? Let me take my break, because that goes back into FCC. We are still not hearing anything about what's going on with the FCC and the new rule change.
Right.
Because it's not blowing back on you personally.
Yeah.
And we're keeping people ignorant. And if you say anything, it's really kind of amazing. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you...
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
And a bloodshed in Ukraine. Ukrainian protest leaders have signed a deal with President Viktor Yanukovych, and European mediators aimed at defusing the country's political crisis has left dozens dead. The deal promises early elections and an invitation to the opposition to join the government. ABC's Hamish McDonald in Kiev.
The demand all along from the protesters in the square has been that the president step down, and I don't think that's changed. He's offered things before. He's offered major concessions. He sacked his prime minister, effectively. He sacked key members of cabinet and offered a new government to be in control of the parliament. But still, the protesters have said that the president, who's loyal to Russia, must go.
One Michigan town using dynamite to break up ice jams on a river to prevent flooding. As another storm brings heavy rain and unusually warm temperatures to the Midwest and East, several states are on flood alert. This man in Barberton, Ohio.
Worried about basements flooding, really, because that's where we have problems around here.
Twisters reported overnight in Illinois and Alabama. A controversial visitor at the White House this morning, President Obama is meeting with the exiled Tibetan spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama. ABC's Ann Compton tells us who's not happy about that.
Instead of the Oval Office, presidents historically receive the Dalai Lama somewhere in the White House residence because he's a religious leader, not a political head of state. But his welcome is a political irritant for China. The U.S. does not ask that the Dalai Lama's homeland, Tibet, be declared independent of China, only that it be allowed to govern itself as part of China.
Officials in China's capital have issued a rare orange alert for air pollution, the second highest level in China's four-stage alert system. It triggers health advisories and bans on barbecues and fireworks. This is ABC News.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability? How about low libido or weight gain? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to get relief from these problems. But you're in luck, because Ambryn can help you balance hormones and relieve your hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, and other symptoms of menopause. And now you can finally lose weight with Ambryn Weight Loss, a powerful new product that will help you get the results you want. So you can finally lose the weight and all those other awful menopause symptoms. Call now and ask how you can get your free sample of Ambryn Weight Loss. Just call 1-800-240-8664. This is a limited-time offer, so don't wait. Call Ambryn right now, 1-800-240-8664. That's 1-800-240-8664. 1-800-240-8664.
A five-month-old baby who turned blue while riding in a car with his aunt yesterday is recovering in a Miami hospital after some heroics.
At 2:30 in the afternoon, traffic on the busy Dolphin Expressway through the middle of Miami stopped moving because Pamela Rosseo jumped out of her car holding her nephew who had turned blue.
I had the baby in my arms and he was completely limp, and I kept screaming for help.
Other drivers got out of their cars. She started CPR.
It really was the scariest moment of my life.
A police officer and firefighters also caught in the traffic pitched in and called for help.
I just knew I couldn't let him die.
Five-month-old Sebastian is now in the hospital, recovering. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Overstock.com has been ordered to pay $6.8 million after a judge ruled the online retailer engaged in false advertising and unlawful business practices in California, making comparisons to products that were similar but not the same as the products for sale. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
My new workout music.
Bring me down.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And I want you to have a happy day.
A weekend. We're going to have a good time.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm batching it this weekend. My beautiful wife is going to be up in Cleveland for 3 days, quilting and teaching quilting up in Cleveland.
You coming to the club tonight?
Are you playing there tonight?
I'm playing it.
Where are you playing tonight?
Squaw Creek.
Oh, no, I'm not going to be at Squaw Creek.
That's Squaw Creek.
My club.
When he does Squaw Creek on certain days when they have spaghetti.
I thought you had friends that you were...
No, we're going up there March.
Oh, come on.
I don't belong. I can't go there. We don't have reciprocity in my club in Squaw Creek.
You carry one of my horns in and go in with me.
Jeez, man. Hey, the number is 347-945.
I'm going to call up my buddy and say, we're going to Squaw Creek tonight.
Huh? No, you can't go to Squaw Creek tonight.
Why?
Because I'm not going to Squaw Creek tonight. I've got things to do.
You're going to be speaking
tomorrow.
Then you better get somebody. You got one of your sponsors blowing the Squaw Creek.
Yeah, but I gotta practice.
Get your sponsor and say look, Jeff said he's gonna give me a mic if we come there tonight. All right,
can I sing my song?
Absolutely, we just got it, and because I'm getting ready to learn how to do it. I know how to do it. We're gonna do the song.
No, that's not what I asked you.
Yes.
Can I come do my song?
Absolutely, because you're a happy person.
I can't
That's
help
all.
You.
So happy
I
people!
To, I mean, I someone
yeah,
has to tell me
yeah,
how to
yeah.
do this.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah,
the judge
yeah,
is on.
Yeah.
Justice Sharon Kennedy is on with us, and we're going to bring her up. She is a Supreme Court Justice for the state of Ohio, and she's been on with us before, and I'm glad to have her back on with me again. How are you, Justice Kennedy?
I'm doing so well. Thank you for having me back, Tracy.
You are more than welcome. Now, I want you to know, if I gain any weight, it's your fault.
Oh, mine. Why is that?
Judge, this is Mark Manchi talking. Tracy told me yesterday I was not allowed to bring donuts in today, and so I didn't. I brought in munchkins.
Hey, those aren't donuts. That doesn't count.
That doesn't count?
That doesn't count.
See?
Well,
that's right.
There was a mandate. I told him, do not bring donuts in the studio. I'm trying to lose weight. What did you do?
What?
He comes in with a Dunkin' Donut box.
So that means the evidence was allowed because the Supreme Court justice said that it was allowed. So it can be used in this case.
Tracy, I think
well,
you're
I gotta tell you, what kind of friend is that?
He said that he had
I mean,
to bring him in because the judge was coming.
Well, and then I think
that
I am just finishing a meeting, so you graciously allowed me to call in as I make my journey back to Columbus.
So now who's going to eat the donut holes?
I would say the guy who brought them, all of them, all in one sitting, and that'll teach him a lesson. He'll never bring them again.
Judge, that's just like throwing Br'er Rabbit into the briar patch. That's not going to work.
Justice Kennedy, tell
well,
us a little bit about
I'm
you.
I'm not for that kind of violence, so let's not do that.
Yeah, you have to understand her background. She was a law enforcement officer before she was a judge. Justice Kennedy, tell us a little bit about, if for those that don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about you and that you're, and I think you're up for re-election this year, if I'm not mistaken.
I am up for re-election, and thank you for remembering. When I ran in 2012, we only won the unexpired term, which is 2 years, so I'm up in 14 for a full 6 years. I have 27 years of service in the justice system, and I did begin my career as a police officer in the city of Hamilton. I fell in love with the law and found a passion to help people and thought I could do more. So I went back to school and got a law degree and then opened up a little single shop. And I actually say I solve community problems one family at a time. 8 years doing that and then on the trial court bench for 14 years in the domestic relations.
And so now, here you are, and you're running for a second term of a Supreme Court justice. How has the first term been?
Honestly, Tracy, this is the greatest opportunity I have ever received. I cannot thank the people of Ohio more for giving me this opportunity. I go back to reading a wide variety of law, doing new things. Reading areas of law that I had never experienced before. It's invigorating, and honestly, I see a beautiful Ohio laid out before me because I crisscross around the state and I travel to every county shaking hands and talking to people about the importance of the judiciary. And it's a wonderful opportunity. And I look at me as the least likely person to have been a Supreme Court justice. I was a working class kid out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And for me, the American dream came true, and I believe it exists for everyone.
I'm glad that you're on, and I've told everyone, you know, because of your running for a judge, the questions that you ask most candidates and people that are running for office, you don't get to ask people that are running for judicial office. So the most you can say is, I'm running and I'm going to do this, and I'm a good person. I believe in standing in integrity, honesty, and equality. But outside of that, you guys are like limited in saying anything else. But my question to you is, I want you to start asking or answering some questions to me about interpretation of law.
Certainly.
Because I found out that most of us, we are clueless when it comes down to law and legal jargon. So we don't know what does it mean when I'm chosen for a juror to be a part of a jury pool and it says reasonable doubt.
Well, beyond
what does
a
that
reasonable
mean?
Doubt, well, beyond a reasonable doubt is the state's burden in a criminal case to actually demonstrate that you believe beyond a reasonable doubt in your own mind that the evidence supports the conviction of an individual, because that's the burden of proof. Where preponderance of the evidence is less than clear and convincing, and clear and convincing is like the 51% mark. Those are kind of the civil aspects of that same legal concept. And I think jurors are smart. I think they are very civic-minded. They take their responsibility very seriously, and I think that jurors in their own right resist being and pressured into making a guilty finding because they hold true to their values. That's why you see hung juries and people say, well, how is that even possible? Or they acquit people because they found beyond a reasonable doubt self-defense evidence and or that the person didn't do what they were charged with.
So let me ask you this. If I go to trial and one juror says not guilty, is that a hung jury?
It is.
So how do I get a not guilty? Do all 12 have to say not guilty?
All 12.
So it's supposed to be a unison. Guilty or not guilty.
Correct.
Huh.
In criminal context, it is all 12 unanimous vote, guilty, not guilty. If you're divided even by one, it's a hung jury, and then it's back to the state to make the choice of whether to prosecute again. If you follow some cases across Ohio, you'll see that prosecutors are trying people for a second or third time because they've had hung juries. Time has obviously continued because these cases, some of them take a year or more to bring to trial, and then they're trying them again. So it's also a decision by your county prosecutor whether or not to do that again and expend resources in that manner. But the work of the jury is to, the state has to demonstrate beyond a reasonable doubt that an individual committed that crime, and evidence is there to support it.
Mark?
Yes. Hey, Judge, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Tell me how it's, how are you?
Good. Tell me about what it's like to be an Ohio Supreme Court judge. What's the good stuff and what's the bad stuff?
The good stuff is if you like to read and you like research, it is a whole new world available to you. It is interesting reading. Eve Stratton once took a measuring tape and measured that it's about 5 feet of work every 2 weeks to read. But it is interesting reading. You're learning new things. You're learning about complex problems. You don't take all the cases in. So if we divide this up, there's a stack of that reading called jurisdictionals, and you have to have a majority vote to bring those in because it's a discretionary appeal, where then you have another stack of reading. It's called non-jurisdictional, which means it's there because they either have a direct right of appeal, they're bringing an original action, they're filing a motion to reopen a past appeal, or filing what we call the Murnahan's ineffective assistance of counsel, appellate rights, a whole host of things. Obviously, capital punishment cases are direct rights of appeal, public utility commission cases and tax cases. And quite honestly, I'm learning again. Unless you serve at Ohio's highest court, you wouldn't read a public utilities commission case other than the lawyers to decide those actions. I didn't practice tax law, so I'm learning tax law, not only state statutory measures, but also municipality tax ordinances as well. It's fascinating. But one of the great things is still traveling Ohio, finding that balance of getting your work done, but still connecting to people who vote.
Judge, would you explain to the listeners a little bit the difference between what it is that a Court of Appeals judge does and you do as an Ohio Supreme Court justice and what the Common Pleas Court judge does? What happens? What's the difference between those proceedings?
That is a great question. And for your listeners, I'd like to even take it one step lower. In Ohio, our judicial structure is set up amongst a trial section and an appellate section. And in the trial section, you have municipal courts and county courts. Now, those courts handle traffic citations. They do misdemeanor cases. They do preliminary hearings for felony cases that then go up to the Court of Common Pleas. They also do civil cases, and that civil litigation is statutorily limited by financial damages. So they handle, across Ohio, those courts, municipal and county courts, handle 2.3 million cases a year. those courts become the face of justice. Most people will enter into a municipal court and not go any higher. The Court of Common Pleas does a criminal docket and a civil docket, but they're also broke up into different divisions. So the general division will do felony criminal cases, and civil litigation exceeds the jurisdictional limits of the municipal courts. Then you have a juvenile division. So if there's an abuse, neglect, dependency case that needs to be filed, if you are a juvenile offender in a criminal action, or if you are an adult and you have engaged in conduct related to a juvenile that's a misdemeanor, you can be tried in that court. In the domestic relations court, they have jurisdiction over the termination of family relationships. Back to the juvenile court, they also have jurisdiction over paternity. So unmarried individuals who have children go through juvenile court for custody and child support proceedings, where married individuals go through domestic relations court. And then you have the probate division of the Court of Common Pleas that handles mental health issues. They handle adult abuse cases, wills, those types of cases. Then everyone within those two tiers of trial courts, and statewide, there's about 600,000 cases that go through the 88 courts of common pleas as a whole. Then out of those two trial courts, about 11,000 make it to one of the 12 appellate districts. So you're a criminal defendant and you believe the trial court was wrong in some respect of a ruling of evidence or giving a particular jury instruction, you appeal that to your appellate district. Then, if you don't like that, then you appeal it to the Ohio Supreme Court, and it's up to the court whether or not they find, under Ohio's Constitution, whether it's a matter of general interest and public, has great public implication for the law, then it enters in under a discretionary appeal. And out of that, we read about 2,200 cases a year.
So at the Court of Appeals level, you don't take testimony, you don't have a jury?
No, you're actually reflecting upon the record that was created in the trial court, which is why it's very important to make sure you get the record right at the trial court. As a trial court judge, I wasn't there to advocate or help lawyers try their case. My job was to listen to the testimony, take the evidence that they introduce, and admit it. If at the end of the day they did not give evidence I needed to make a decision in the way that they wanted, their opportunity to supplement the record is kind of closed. So the appellate court is really reviewing what the trial court did. By and large, it's an abuse of discretion standard of proof. In other words, did the trial court abuse its discretion? Is there evidence to support what the trial court did? And if so, it's likely to be affirmed.
Hey, Jeff. Your Honor, I'd like to ask a question there. Now, you said it's your job to listen to the arguments. Now, when you make your decision, do you make your decision based on what was presented, or do you make your decision based on your interpretation of what you knew about that law, even if it was not brought up in court as evidence?
Now, are you saying when I was in the trial court or in my current position?
In your current position.
Now, in my current position, I kind of read in reverse order. I read the propositions of law. In other words, this is where you say Ohio law should be. I read the appellate decision next because I believe they give me the most objective view of the case. Then I read the briefs of the appellant and appellee. And then there are friend of the court briefs that organizations submit because they have a position on the law that's being discussed in this case, and people have the right to file an amicus. I read those, and then to me, oral arguments are very important. I've changed my mind at how I looked at a case because they can really put a fine point on a particular aspect of law. But the final decision in my mind goes back to what's really in the record. So if you stand at oral argument and you say, Justice Kennedy, at page 275 of the transcripts, this is what was said. I'm going to go right back and read page 275, and I hope you're right that it's there, because if that really changes the outcome in the case and the law should be applied in a particular manner based on that, that's pretty much what you do. You cannot go or create a record for these cases.
And all things are based upon with the laws that are already written. Am I correct? And how the law
Absolutely.
Reads.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You're not reinterpreting the law. What you're doing is you are defining that which was done and to the law that is already written.
Correct. That's the famous line that I use of, I will live within my constitutional limits of upholding the law, not rewriting it or legislating from the bench. You have a statute in front of you, whether you like it or not. It is the law of the land because it was your voice that created it. The men and women who work in the Ohio House and Senate are your voice to shape Ohio. And the laws that come out of those chambers and signed into law by the governor is the will of the people. My job, as long as you have not created a law that is unconstitutional, you're usurping someone's right. As long as it is not unconstitutional, then I have an obligation to uphold it, even if Sharon Kennedy, the person, doesn't like it. Because that's our model.
Justice Kennedy, I want to ask you, when you say that the law is the law of the people and the will of the people, I need for you to go back to some of the academics of law, because I've been having this conversation with people, with lawyers and non-lawyers, because of things that happen that the people don't like the law, but because they don't get involved with the process, the laws are made. And
well,
I don't think people really understand that they need to get enacted within the process of the law so that the laws are the will of the people.
I could not agree more wholeheartedly. I look at elections have consequences. So in the beginning of your civics lesson, if you have a particular view that you believe would help Ohio move forward or this country, your first initiative is to learn about candidates and go vote. Put the people in office that you believe should be in office. Once they're in office, if you want or believe that there's a law that should be enacted to fix a problem, pick up the phone and call your representative. That's what they're there for. As a trial court judge, and this example gives everyone an understanding of this concept that we're talking about. Two lawyers are standing in front of me, and as a domestic relations court judge, they want me to sign order that would bring a juvenile court case into this divorce. I basically looked at them and said, where's my authority to do that? And they were like, well, you don't have authority to do that. This is what the people want. This is what this couple wants. This is what is best for them. Nobody's going to appeal it. Nobody's going to know. And I looked at them and said, I would know. I'm violating my oath to uphold the law. I don't have authority to do it. It's not worth the piece of paper it's written on. It violates the law. While I understand the problem, I'll do this. I promise you when I leave the bench today, I will call my state representative and explain this problem. I will begin working with the legislatures and the senators for a fix in this. So the Ohio House, the Ohio Senate, listened to the problem that this family had, changed the jurisdictional limits by way of statute for Butler County Domestic Relations Court. Now, married couples who separate prior to filing a divorce can actually come to the domestic relations court and get a custody and support order. So in the event they ever file a divorce, those cases combine. That was the right way to solve the problem through the legislature. It wasn't up to me as a judge with a pen to do that which I had no authority to do.
And so when we say that, and when we talk about the law and we talk about ignorance, because this is a problem that I have today, the American electorate has become so passive when it comes to political enforcement as well as the law and how the process works. We don't really teach civics anymore. We don't get engaged politically as we should. And we allow things to happen or, that we like or and or don't like because we don't take the time to find out, and then we look at the judicial system to fix it, and they can't because you have to just go after the law.
I would agree with that. I think there's a lot of apathy out there. I think there are a lot of people who believe that you cannot change things by going to the ballot box or by picking up the phone and calling your legislator. And I guess I would say until you try and continue to try, I don't think you can say that. Are you going? Is the candidate you want to win always going to win? Maybe not. But your voice, to me, is the greatest voice. You know, there are people dying around the world to have the freedom that we have, to have the right to vote. When you go back and look at the Iraqis voting for the first time with their purple thumbs and the number of people who turn out, you have the right to vote the minute you turn 18. And for many of us, many people don't even vote. In off-year elections, where I come from, you might have 29% of the people turn out to vote. 29% are now going to select the leaders of municipalities and townships and off-year judicial races. Unless you're out voting, you don't have the right to criticize what's going on. You have to get in the game. And part of that is civics and having that pride. I can't imagine not voting. Cannot imagine it.
Judge, I'm not a lawyer, but I was raised by one. So I want to ask a question. This is going to the court above you, of course, and that is the United States Supreme Court. In the decision that was made for the health care law, they gave an opinion, you know, that with the majority, that it could be used as a tax, and therefore the United States could enforce this because it could be a tax. However, it was not passed as a tax through the Congress. How could that be justified without that having to go back through? And that way, I don't know if you can speak on that, et cetera, et cetera, without that having to go back through Congress.
In the reasoning of the majority, and this is what they say, this is not Sharon Kennedy, as personal opinion. So the reasoning of the majority was that the House and the Senate passed legislation that called it a fee. In reality, in their mind, they could read that law as saying that it was really a tax. It's being administered by a taxing agency. And as a result of that, that they enacted a tax. Even if they wanted to call it a fee, it was really a tax, so they had authority to do it. I think many Americans look at that and say exactly what you just said. It wasn't written in the law as a tax. It was written in the law as a fee, as a penalty. How can you now say it's a tax?
With
the majority of...
I'm
sorry?
Yeah, I just interjected to say without it going back through the Congress and be passed as what it said it was.
Exactly. Well, I think that they basically said it doesn't matter what kind of word you put next to it, fee or penalty, it all really meant a tax based on how it was going to be administered. So they rubber stamped it as being okay. It's a tax.
Judge, could you, for our listeners, answer a question that I get as an attorney a lot, and I try to answer it in defining the nobility of attorneys that defend unpopular clients. A lot of people don't understand why a lawyer would defend an unpopular client. Could you tell these folks why we do that sort of thing?
You know, I think this is a fantastic question. I was a police officer, and I arrested people. I upheld the law. I issued tickets. I testified against people. After I got my law degree, I hung out a shingle, and I was a criminal defense attorney. And I would have people yell at me, how could I possibly defend this person or this person? And it really comes down to this. Do you believe in the Constitution of the United States of America. Do you believe that we have the right to live free of government intrusion and unlawful detainment? If you believe that we as Americans have liberty and the right to live free, and that the state must prove that you are guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, then you would embrace the concept of a criminal defense attorney, even for those who you hate, even for those who have done the most heinous of acts. Because in our system, that is our system. We have a Fourth Amendment right. We have a Fifth Amendment right. We have a Sixth Amendment right. We have the right to be secure in our person, our property, and our homes without government intrusion under the Fourth. We have the right to remain silent, and nothing we say can be used against us. And the right of our silence cannot be used against us in a court of law. We have the right to representation. We fundamentally believe these in core, and it is the core of what makes America the greatest republic in the world. And because of that, you have to believe that even that person who creates or does the most heinous of acts has the right to enjoy our American system of justice. And as a result of that, they're entitled to representation.
Judge, we live in a world of non-absolutes, of a world of relativity. And talk about the importance of rule of law in our society and how it's the foundation on which our country is built.
Well, it actually is the foundational principle of our country. When you go back and you read the original articles of the Constitution, and they set forth the legislative branch and the executive branch and the judicial branch. And they gave each of those branches specific powers. Legislative branches is to hear the voice of the people and create the laws that the people are desirous of. The executive branch is empowered to give effect to those laws. And the judicial branch is really just there to support the law as it's written. There is a delicate balance in play. The rule of law and what makes this country great and why people thirst for our kind of republic and our kind of rule of law is it levels the playing field, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're from Columbus or Cleveland, whether you live in Mahoning Valley. The law of Ohio will be in fair and impartial play regardless of the court that you walk into. And that rule of law is really what helps us thrive. If you look at law and economics, it's an unusual phenomenon. If you look at emerging, developing countries, they will not thrive economically unless they have a rule of law and it's fairly and equitably applied. Why? Why would you risk growing a business or starting a business where the law is meaningless, where the contract you've written means nothing, where the government could take your land, take your property, seize it? You wouldn't invest in a country like that. But when you have the rule of law and its application is stable and predictable, you have the ability of some surety to understand what the future is. And then if you see the law change, it's not changing because a judge took out a pen and rewrote it. The law thing, and you have a voice within the legislature to say this is bad because X, Y, and Z. When a judge does it, they don't sit around the conference table and get phone calls saying, if you do this, this will be bad. That's why judges should not rewrite law or what I call endgame-ment, create an outcome using the law to satisfy a particular case, because then you've put the law in tilt. It's like a swinging pendulum that will go back and forth. On this case, you did this, but then, oh, my gosh, there's a little change in these facts, so you're going to do this. That's when the law becomes unstable and unpredictable, and you can't do that. People are going to rely on the rule of law and its fair and equitable application, and actually honoring precedents, whether you like precedents or not. Decisions get made. People then adjust to what the courts have said that is, and that should also not swing. I think Westfield versus Gladys gives you those prongs of when the Ohio Supreme Court can disregard precedent.
Justice, I have to ask you, because And I've got to throw a wrench in here really quick.
Well, thank you, Tracy, for your throwing a wrench.
It's not that I don't love you. And then I want to open up the phone lines because there's some people that want to ask some questions. African Americans, a lot of them, we do not believe that the law works on our behalf based upon the large incarceration rate, the high unemployment rate, the high poverty rate, and then cases such as Zimmerman and Michael Dunn. And I take a different look at it because I believe if you don't like the law, change it. And if you don't like what's going on, change it. But when you said that you really have to have to know that the law is working on your behalf, help me convince people that the law works on your behalf if you work the law on your behalf. And if you don't like it, change it.
I'm not sure that I can change it for people, and I don't think I can change their minds. I think that, number one, there is an emotional aspect of those views that you can never change. And while I appreciate and respect people's personal feelings, and while you may look at it as this was wrong in this case, I've had this discussion across Ohio. If you don't believe that the system works for you, then other than engaging it, you can never change it. For jury verdicts, I'm not in the jury room. I didn't sit and listen to all the evidence, and I wasn't there for the jury discussions and deliberations and the final verdict. And people have visceral responses to the Simpson case, the Zimmerman case, the Dunn case, part of the jury. So I refuse to say that 12 people would knowingly violate their duty. And I think you have to respect the process. You might not like the outcome, but you have to respect the process. The economic situation in this country is a much bigger issue, and I don't think it rests with the courts. It rests with policies that are going through not only Washington, but Ohio, and how that comes together with an economic framework of helping jobs grow in this country. That's beyond my pay grade. I'm not a legislator.
Because the reason why I ask is because there's been so much conversation, and when I ask you about reasonable doubt and when I ask you about the legislature and changing it and getting engaged in it, it is because I believe it is so important that we understand the jury was to do a job, and if they could not do it, they came back hung with it. Even if they get retried or if there is a plea or if there is a lesser included, but there are jury instructions that they have to go by, and sitting in that jury box, you just have to understand how the process works. And if the prosecutor does not build a case, then you can't expect for the jury to come back with the verdict that you want. And that's how the law is.
Absolutely. And I just refuse to believe 12 people would ignore their civic duty, 12 people would ignore a crime in front of them. There are specific elements in criminal cases that the state must prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And if 12 people believe they didn't do that, or there was a hung jury on a particular prong of the indictment or account of the indictment, the prosecutor has the ability to retry that if they so desire. But I don't believe people willy-nilly just walk away from their obligation and they don't take it seriously. Every person that I know who's ever served on a juror says it is the most amazing experience because they didn't really understand the law and how it works, but they did in that moment. And every time someone sits in a criminal jury, I guarantee you, they think about it in terms of their own life. If they were sitting there, they would want somebody to do the job appropriately. I believe in that, and I have to believe in that. Because if we don't have that, then we have nothing in this country.
I agree. Diva, your mic is on.
Oh, well, thank you, Tracy, for allowing me this opportunity. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
I have a two-part question, and my first part of the question is, can you explain a little more what beyond a reasonable doubt means? Because some people, is it just a mere, well, yes, I think this could have happened, or is it a little more than that? And can you also explain what premeditation is in the state of Ohio, and is it the same for all states, or is it something different for each state?
I'll take the first part of the question and say that I would say it's beyond that feeling of, I think this happened. It's beyond a reasonable doubt, or infamously used in television, is beyond a shadow of a doubt. It is a certainty in your core that the state has evidence to support finding that this individual committed this crime. Every specific factor in that statute must be met. So if the mens rea is the person knowingly did X, then you have to find, based on the definition of knowingly, that that person knowingly did X. And to me, the state either proves that or doesn't, and people look at the evidence and say, yes, beyond a shadow of a doubt, in my mind, I believe that person's guilty. As it relates to premeditation, I can't speak to all states, only Ohio. Premeditation is used as a term that was your intention. You set out to do X instead of in a heat of passion. Some facts here to spotlight the difference. I purposely said in my mind that I am going to get a gun and kill somebody. Premeditation. I had a beef with them. I go home. I think about it. I'm angry. I get a gun. I go back and I shoot them. As opposed to heat of the moment of I walk in and my husband's having a torrid affair with somebody else in my marital bed, and in the heat of the moment, I get a gun and shoot him. Difference between premeditation is I didn't go home and expect or anticipate or design to kill my husband. In that moment, because of that emotion, I did that. I mean, there are those kinds of separations in the law. And other than a general concept, as I drive across Ohio, I really don't have a concrete set of facts to give you.
But that was a good analogy. I have to thank you for that one, because that was good.
Well, you're welcome, Tracy. Maybe
that said it nice and clear. I have to. I can't ask you opinion.
That's your job.
because that was good. Diva, anything else?
No, I'm good. Thank you very much.
South
Thank
Carolina.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in.
South Carolina, do you have any questions for our Ohio State Supreme Court Justice Kennedy?
No, actually not. I'm just going to ask the question that I would ask.
Okay.
Okay.
Justice Kennedy, you are a gem, and I stand in endorsement of you for running. I think you are a great justice. I think you are fair and impartial.
Amen.
I think you do a wonderful job, and it is an honor to have you as a friend and also to support your candidacy for reelection.
Thank you. And you are a great friend to me and a great voice for conservatives in the Mahoning Valley, and I thank you for everything you do. I know it gets tough.
It's what we do.
That it is.
It's just what we do. We just love what we do, and we just keep on doing it, and it's worth it, because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, when you look back over your day, you go to sleep and have a good night.
Honestly, that's nothing more true could be ever said. And the next time I come back to the Mahoning Valley, I will come in and discipline the person who brought donut holes.
We've all gained 10 pounds each sitting here, Judge, because you weren't here. But that's I'm going to carry a reminder of the day around my waist for the next 3 months.
I'll tell you a little secret. At my age, I don't eat donuts anymore.
Uh-oh.
I know the feeling.
It's like the Field of Dreams. If you build it, they come. If we bring the donuts, you'll eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. They taunt us with that.
You guys are so lovely. Thank you.
Justice Kennedy, thank you so much, and I appreciate you coming up and supporting our candidate, Judge Rob.
It was a great judicial salute, Tracy, and I really missed you last night, and I'm sorry my meetings ran long this morning.
That's okay. I'm on a quest to lose weight, and I had to make a decision, and if every time I make a decision, I put exercise on the back burner and my trainer on the back burner, I will never accomplish my goal, and so I'm trying to prioritize my health so that I can live a healthy life.
And she has a tough trainer.
And they're pretty tough on me. And so I got a mission this year, and I will not accomplish that mission if I keep on throwing them on the back.
Nope. It comes first. Look, without our health, we have nothing.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at the life, that oxygen mask on the plane. I've got to start putting it on me first.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great analogy.
Any closing comments?
Good work.
Thank you so much. Anything you want to say that we haven't asked you? Is there anything that we missed?
No, thank you, and thanks for the opportunity, and thank you to the voters of Ohio for the greatest opportunity one could ever imagine.
Well, listen, we hope to keep you there because I think you do a fabulous job there, and whatever I can do to support you, please let me know.
Thanks so much. Have a blessed day.
You too. Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 345-5229. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. I'll fight with Jeff and Mark because between Mark knows it all and Jeff knows everything, I am a total idiot.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Fit Family. Unique. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Youngstown State students prepare for a tuition hike. The school's Board of Trustees have approved a 2.38% increase for undergrads for the fall semester. That equates to $7.83 per credit hour. Graduate students will pay more. They'll see a 3% tuition hike. That's $13.19 more per credit hour. Flooding concerns rise during this short burst of warm weather. Officials are urging homeowners to take precautions if you haven't already. Check your sump pumps to make sure they're operating and take those personal items out of your basement.
And a 24-year-old Poland village man pleaded not guilty to unlawful sexual contact with a minor. Police say Matthew Slavin smoked pot with a 14-year-old girl, then had sex with her. Her mother was the one that alerted officials about the relationship after discovering text messages on her daughter's phone. Slavin posted bail and is awaiting his next court date. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
You feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is.
Hey, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends. I'm only back for a minute. There it is. I'm only back for a minute because I got to go to my top of the hour break. And I ran through the break because I wanted the justice to continue on and to have that conversation so that there wouldn't be any break in that conversation.
We can't do our conversations off the air while they're on the air. I think we'd be in trouble.
Yeah. No, we can't do that. No, we can't do that.
Although it would make for interesting radio.
Yes. And Diva, you did a good job. South Carolina, you're a chicken.
I like her.
She's a good girl.
I can tell that she might be conservative, but I can also tell that she doesn't legislate. I mean, not legislate. She doesn't rule from the bench out of her. You know, she's just impartial and objective in her. I just like her.
Let me say this. You will find I will not bring anybody on here that would harm the community that I love and the nation that I love. There are some people that you don't see me saying, well, listen, come on and support them and they're my friend. I don't do that. If someone comes on here, it's because they have been what they call vetted, and they have passed the smell test of Tracy Winbush. Because I don't like everybody. And I tell them that I don't like them. So there's no, you know where you stand. I don't like you. I think you shouldn't be there. And if I have any way, I'm going to get you out. Yes, Mark?
Nothing.
I like you. You can talk.
I was going to sing God Bless America while you're talking over there.
Yeah.
You guys are so wrong.
I'll believe what you do.
You guys
so
are so
wrong.
So
she's running for her seat again.
You can vote for her.
Election.
Right. You can vote for her because it is statewide. She's running for Supreme Court Justice. And so down there in Columbus.
Other candidates, but I do like her.
Oh, I will say, and let me say, we're talking about this for a few minutes before I go again to another break, and I'm sorry. But in Ohio, people play games with candidates. And so they put people on the ballot because they have a good name. And so they know that people are ignorant when it comes, especially when it comes to the judges. So they will put a name like O'Donnell on the ballot because Terrence O'Donnell was a long life staple on the ballot. Or they'll put a guy by the name of O'Neill on the ballot. Not because he's qualified, not because he's good, but because it has that Irish Catholic name. It sounds white, and you'll never see a picture of him. You'll never hear nothing from him. But we're just hoping that the name game will get you inside.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
What's with all the Irish names?
I'm prejudiced.
Well, now, it's coming up on St. Patrick's Day. Jeff O'Greeny here is going
Jeff
to... Jeff O'Greeny. That's
and I'm not trying to be mean, but what I'm saying is we need to be a little bit more responsible in our choosing of candidate of our voting when it comes to the judicial system, because they are playing games with us and they are using the name game because it sounds like something that you know, because names get evoked. If anybody watched the Eddie Murphy, and I got to take my break, it was called The Distinguished Gentleman. And he went around and he said his name was Jeff Johnson because the person who was the incumbent was Jeff Johnson. Jeff Johnson died, and they put Eddie Murphy in office, and he was a nut. Didn't know anything, didn't go anywhere, but because his name was Jeff Johnson, people actually voted for him, as long as there was no picture. And we need to quit voting for people based on just name ID, but based on what you've done for them.
The guy in Houston did that.
That's what I'm saying, Green. That's what I'm saying.
He got over. He made his name the same as the black guy.
Yes. I'll be right back.
After 100 deaths in the streets of Kiev, a deal has been signed by Ukraine's president and opposition leaders to end the political crisis. The agreement promises a coalition government within 10 days. ABC's Tom Rivers at the Foreign Desk.
After going over the deal in fine detail, opposition leaders have now put pen to paper and signed. Hammered out during an all-night session attended also by President Yanukovych and European mediators, it calls for early elections, a new coalition government, and a rollback of some presidential powers.
Existing home sales dropped more than expected in January, off 5.1%. Walter Maloney with the National Association of Realtors.
The sales fell to the lowest level in a year and a half, but ongoing inventory shortages are continuing to lift prices in most of the country.
Some blame cold weather as well as higher prices and mortgage costs. The median home price has risen nearly 11% to $188,900 since January of 2013. Today's severe weather over much of the east is a mixed bag, says ABC's meteorologist Ginger Z.
From southern New Jersey all the way to Jacksonville, Florida, that's who has to be on alert. Damaging wind, hail, and isolated tornadoes.
After their state-of-the-art racing suits were rejected by some U.S. speed skaters in Sochi, Under Armour says it was wrongly accused. ABC's Jim Ryan in Sochi.
Was it the ventilation flaps in the Mach 39 skating suit that created extra drag and cost the Americans every race they entered? The company CEO says absolutely not, that the design and construction of the suit are sound and well-tested, and Team USA appears ready to stick with Under Armour. The two have signed a joint agreement for the company to provide uniforms for the next 8 years, including the Winter Olympics in 2018 and 2022. Jim Ryan, ABC News at the Winter Olympics in Sochi.
Ukraine has won a gold medal in Sochi, its first in these Winter Games, in the women's biathlon relay. This is ABC News.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability? How about low libido or weight gain? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to get relief from these problems. But you're in luck, because Ambryn can help you balance hormones and relieve your hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, and other symptoms of menopause. And now you can finally lose weight with Ambryn Weight Loss, a powerful new product that will help you get the results you want. So you can finally lose the weight and all those other awful menopause symptoms. Call now and ask how you can get your free sample of Ambryn Weight Loss. Just call 1-800-240-8664. This is a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call Ambryn right now, 1-800-240-8664. That's 1-800-240-8664. 1-800-240-8664.
The pollsters at Gallup are out with a new survey ranking the happiest places to live in America.
It's the happiest state in the country, and for the first time in 5 years, it's not Hawaii.
North Dakota. Arrive a guest, leave a legend.
A new Gallup well-being index ranks it number one and its neighbor number two.
South Dakota.
Gallup researchers based their rankings on how residents rated their own health, employment, and education. They believe the oil boom in the Dakotas raised their stock. And while you might
find your wild and wonderful in West Virginia,
you'll also find the unhappiest people there. Kentucky was a close second for the biggest buzzkill. Karen Chase, ABC News.
A new study suggests that obese women get just 1 hour of vigorous exercise a year, while obese men don't do much better. Fewer than 4 hours of exercise a year. The findings startled University of Alabama researchers. One said they're living their lives from one chair to another. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment. The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is healthcare. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, it's Auto Show time, and that means great deals on your favorite Ford vehicles.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I'm okay.
Bring me down.
bring me down, 'cause I'm happy alone. If you feel like a room without a roof, clap along. If you feel like happiness is the truth, clap along. If you know what happiness is to you,
now you've gotten your chance to think. You got an audience across the country.
They're going to be able to see me.
Oh, no. You got cameras in here. Shut up.
No.
Yeah. You get done, yeah.
You know, so I can, like, get into it.
You're into it. He's bouncing around the studio. Me and Mark are on our chances.
To bring me down. Bring me down.
Like a chance.
Because I'm
told you, yes.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Clap along if you feel that's what you want to do.
Yeah, we got to put a line dance to this.
I guarantee you there's one out.
I don't think so.
Happiness is the truth.
Because if we can put a line dance to this, because it's a great workout song.
Well, I'm just telling you. I guarantee you there's a line dance to it already.
We got to get our local expert,
Rupert.
Ronnie Rupert.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I have come to the top of the hour of the 11th hour, the third hour of the show, which means we are going down and almost on our way up for the end of the week.
I'm going down.
No, Jeff, we're going up.
Oh. No, the clock.
The clock is going down, but I'm going up.
Oh, well, let's do it.
You know what? I came up with a new cliche.
Mm.
What's that?
A clock is right twice a day.
Yes.
A broke clock.
A broke clock is right twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you have to tell time by it.
I'm going to write that down on one of my rules for life.
I'm leaving that one alone.
I'm serious, because people don't understand that.
Oh, yes, they do. We get a whole lot of broke cops calling the show.
503, your mic is on. How are you? And welcome to Open Mic Friday with Tracy and friends. We're nuts here.
Well, what good morning. This is Big Bob.
Big Bob,
up,
how
Tracy?
You doing, baby?
I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging.
How you feeling, baby? How you doing?
I'm surviving. You know, I told you I'm back in chemo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having I'm having a good day, and I want to know where I get that song, because every time I turn your radio on and it's playing, I just, you know, I'm snapping and popping and
you just go online
and
type.
I thought it was for Sensations. I thought that was Jeff, you know, playing.
hopefully it soon will be.
That is Happy by Pharrell Williams. It comes off the Despicable Me 2. Movie soundtrack.
Tracy. Well, you know, I didn't even pick it up because I just watched the movie.
Yes, South Carolina.
Hey, listen, I like the song, but if you play it again, I'm going to come to Youngstown and I'm going to stomp every minion in the back.
You're nothing but a screw.
Just to get them to come to town.
You know what? That's a good idea. Hold
just
on.
Just to get them to come to town.
Wait a minute, it won't even play anymore.
So we can feed them.
South Carolina.
We used to play the
song.
That's
the song.
It knew the deal. That's what I'm talking about.
How can you be in a bad mood listening to that song?
Oh, I'm not in a bad mood.
But you have to understand, I've really been addicted lately.
You don't have grandkids that watch the movie.
Yeah, I do. They're going to be watching it this weekend.
They're going to be watching it because Grandpa wants to watch it now to find the song in the movie. Actually, there's a commercial that's using the same song also.
Oh,
you got
everywhere.
To be right.
I mean, it's there. My girlfriend, what she did was she emailed it to me and said, listen, I bet you this song makes you smile. I'm like, yeah, right. I'm on it.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina just got a plane ticket.
I like the dancing.
I don't know. Does Jackson Airport got a flight out of South Carolina yet?
Listen, don't even mention where Youngstown goes and doesn't go. We're
yeah,
still trying
I'm
to get anywhere but Florida.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then it still doesn't go to Florida. So, Big Bob, you can still come in here and say hi to us.
You know what? I've had my fourth one Monday, and this is the best week I've had since. So I'm improving on the side effects. I'm out about a little bit because I'm actually feeling good and I'm not running errands today. So as it improves, I'll be in.
Okay, because I'm looking for you. As soon as the weather breaks, and I want you to feel good because I need you because I miss you.
I miss you guys too. And you know, I was just all out of touch over, back in the surgery and everything. And so it's all good. Good
all
Lord
right.
got me home before Christmas, and I'm in good hands. And
as long as you know we love you.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. Let somebody else get on the line. I just was listening to this song, and I said, you know what? I got a call.
That's good. That's good. I've got people really engaged in the song. I want people to be happy. Happy is a good thing.
Happy, happy.
Happy, happy.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Diva.
I don't know if I missed it.
Huh?
You said you were going to talk a little more about your health and what was going on. All I mentioned was, heard you mention briefly one time was your diagnosis, and you didn't think anything.
At the end of last year, I had cervical cancer. And so the days that you did not see me here, and Jeff and Mark and Styx were filling in for me, I was in the hospital having surgeries. And I had three surgeries from Thanksgiving to New Year's. And I went to the doctor, I think, 2 weeks ago, and I came back cancer-free. But it comes from early detection. And we'll get more and more into early detection, making sure that you go and get your prostate, your pre-screenings, your mammograms, your pap smears, making sure that you go get those. If I hadn't, and I want you to know, you have to know me. The doctor said, you need to have this surgery. And I said, well, listen, I don't have time for that. Can we put it off for a couple months? I'm busy. And he was like, no. And actually, I told the nurse, I'm going to try a different way of going this approach. I'm going to take a more natural approach. And he called me back and said, no, Tracy, you can't do that with this. And I'll get more into more in detail, but I will say this. It is important. Early detection saves body parts as well as life. You know, we as women, we don't want to go get a mammogram because we don't want to hear what it has to say. But if you go early and they detect it early, they don't have to take the whole breast. They can just take the cancer out and let you keep the breast. But when you wait until it becomes a large mass and they've got to go in and it has to be more very, very, very invasive. And so I can say a praise report. God has brought me through. You still stuck with me, and I am now cancer-free. So I can actually say that I am one of those people I am a cancer survivor.
Amen. Welcome to the club. Amen.
But early detection, I think Bob will attest to the same thing. You need to go. You know, prostate cancer, all this men. I know nobody likes the doctor. Nobody likes to hear bad news. But you need to go do it. And if you don't have the money, there are places where they actually have grants where you can get the screenings and not pay for them.
Sure are.
Especially for the women as well as the men.
Absolutely.
You have community health right here in Youngstown.
Absolutely. And Youngstown Community Health, if you go to the Joni Abdu Comprehensive Breast Cancer Center, you can get seen about. The men have
there
you go
is no excuse.
No. And what you don't want is you do not want cancer to invade and to become an invading force in your body, because getting it out is a mess if you don't take care of it. It's like a root of a bad weed. If you don't get it up early, it will overtake the beautiful flower and it will choke the life out of it.
I would have to say that early detection is key. I can attest to it because when we first started noticing the lump on my ankle, my sister, who is a nurse, was like, you need to get that checked out. And I was like, no, I can't take, because this is right off me coming from the hospital, being released from the hospital after 2 weeks. I was like, I can't take any more bad news. I don't want to deal with it. But I'm just thankful that she really kept pressing me to do it, because it's what saved my foot. And from my cancer spreading like wildfire.
And
for me,
yeah, Bob.
I had another, you know, I'm diagnosed with Crohn's. I had another bowel obstruction, and I was brought up in the hospital, and the surgeon looked at the CAT scan, and he said, you know, with your history, I need to go in. And sure enough, he went in, and it was another tumor. So, I mean, it's like no delay to it. Yeah.
But it's okay if you catch it. But we have to become more proactive. We talk about, you know, I talk about politics and being proactive. It's the same thing. You've got to have a proactive attitude and a proactive life. Because if you're not proactive and you're reactive, you're going to pay the price. Mark, I'm going to get you a count.
I was always taught if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
That's true. And I have to thank Jeff and Styx and Mark. Because when I called them and said, listen, can you pick up the slack? I didn't hear any slack from them. They just told me to take care of myself. And then I thought I was going to come back to work and be in full swing.
That wasn't going to happen, Tracy. that does not happen.
Let me tell the truth. She thought she was going to come back and see cinders rising out of the board.
Tracy, did you have to have chemo and radiation therapy or anything?
No, I did not because of the early detection. They were able to actually just get it all, and then I have to go back every 4 to 6 months for my follow-up to make sure and to get checked. But outside of that, they got it all with the surgery, and it was in one big mass.
Oh, wow.
And it was self-contained.
Wow.
But that's why I'm saying early detection is the key so that I didn't have to go through that. I wouldn't want to go through chemo and radiation. They tell me that it will kill you.
Yeah, but Tracy, you were a little alive. Bit resistant when they were, you know.
I was a little bit resistant?
Yeah, you were a little resistant.
What do you mean I was a little bit resistant?
You said you didn't want to go in.
I didn't want to go in. I was busy.
You didn't want to do it now.
I was busy. I was busy.
I didn't have the option, but we're surviving.
You're gonna make it, cause you gotta come be my sales manager.
What's that?
You gotta come be my sales manager.
Okay.
You gotta go to work. Everybody works here, cause I gotta cut you a check like I cut the rest of them a check.
Wait,
Mark.
Look,
why are you laughing,
going.
Mark?
I gotta get. I'm sorry. Love all you. I'll be
what
in touch.
You say, Bob? All right, love you.
I gotta love you. I'll be in touch.
All righty.
Bicycle.
It, be good. And let us know if you need us. Well, I guess I'll take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Styx, South Carolina. No. Yeah, Styx, South Carolina. And Diva, your mics are on. And we'll see you on the other side of our break.
Ford Studios. It's auto show time, and that means great deals on your favorite Ford vehicles. For a limited time, get a new Focus with up to $3,000 cash back. See your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer for auto show specials, or visit driveoneohio.com.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability. How about low libido or weight gain? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to get relief from these problems. But you're in luck, because Ambren can help you balance hormones and relieve your hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, and other symptoms of menopause. And now you can finally lose weight with Ambren Weight Loss, a powerful new product that will help you get the results you want. So you can finally lose the weight and all those other awful menopause symptoms. Call now and ask how you can get your free sample of Ambren Weight Loss. Just call 1-800-240-8664. This is a limited-time offer, so don't wait. Call Ambren right now, 1-800-240-8664. 1-800-240-8664. That's 1-800-240-8664. 1-800-240-8664.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Okay, I think South Carolina's gotten into my system. Listen,
oh, yeah.
Don't kill the song, though. I know what you're talking about.
What? I got to kill the song.
Don't kill it.
I got to kill it. You know, it's one of those songs that it's such a heavy rotation.
You alternate that with Blurred Lines.
But Blurred Lines is the toe tapper, but it doesn't have the message is bad.
No, I know the message is bad, but nobody can understand them.
You know you want it.
It's such a bad song.
Girl.
It is such a bad song.
Yeah, I know it's a bad song.
If that's the case, you might as well play Miley Cyrus. Did you guys see the pictures of her on the internet?
Oh my gosh,
Tracy.
What?
I could not believe you did that to my Twitter page. I was like, I was in shock.
Well, I mean,
one thing I ask of you.
People need to know. People, and Bro, if she bad enough to put it out there, I'm bad enough to show she put it out there.
And I was so shocked when I saw it, I had to go look at it again, and I still didn't believe it, so I went and looked at it again.
Oh, I didn't see it.
I'm just
Is that
like,
on Twitter?
I'm just confused as to why does she think she have the body to really do something like that? And then secondly, why are you promoting this type of behavior to teenage girls?
I don't think she cares.
Well,
I don't think she cares at all.
I guess the parents don't care either, because my daughter wouldn't be going to one of her concerts.
I don't think they realized she was going to be that raunchy. I think, you know, sometimes people do stuff on the TV and, you know, they do it. But then when you get to the concert, it's not as risque. But I don't think they expected for her to go there. Here, Jeff. Go look at the picture. Hold on.
Yeah, okay.
Y'all, Jeff hasn't seen this.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I got to help him out.
I darn near lost whatever was in my stomach. After
so, Jeff, there's picture number one.
The girl looks like a stick figure with shoes on.
Right. I mean, she has no body to speak of.
And what is up with her in the mascot and the fuzzy things?
Because that's where she came from.
She on drugs.
Yeah.
So that's what she sees all the time.
And she ain't got a body.
No.
She doesn't.
I mean.
But see, that's okay, because after three beers, it's, you know.
What three beers?
I say after three beers, it don't matter.
I mean, what's up with, I mean, she got hot dogs. Come on in.
Well, that's a metaphor. The hot dog is a metaphor.
No.
They're all metaphors for her. The bears, the purple monkey, all that is basically her putting it out there that she's on drugs and she don't care.
Jeff, look at this one. Now, was she happy or what? On stage.
Happy and you know it.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands. You need to wash your hands now, baby.
Ain't got a friend of mine just stopped in. Eric, pull down that mic. Sit right there. Grab that mic there and put that headset on. A friend of mine named Eric Wells just stepped in, and he is he's an NRA nut.
Nut? Hi.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How's it going, Tracy?
Things are well.
Good.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends.
Oh, I tell you what, this is a great opportunity. I'm glad I was able to really get in here and
Thanks.
Do what I need to do.
And I told him that, you know, if he was ever in the neighborhood, you know, it's like a Mr. Robinson's neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Stop in. He rang the doorbell, told him to come on in and hang out. So how's everything going with you?
Ah, fantastic. I saw that picture on the Facebook, on the Internet a couple of days ago, and I was just as disgusted. You know, it's a shame that traditional values regarding womanhood had been marginalized at that point, but that kind of thing is celebrated more than just unfortunate.
The question is, who's mama and who's daddy going to let you do that?
Well, she doesn't have to.
She's
she doesn't
a reverse
have to
Beyonce.
Anymore.
That's what it is.
What'd you say?
That's called anti-Beyonce.
That's anti-Beyonce?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what is the that's the anti-Beyonce. Well, the president said that he wanted to, no, the president's wife said she would, the role model for her daughters is Beyonce.
I think
so what does that say to you?
Beyonce is this woman, and she's strong in who she is.
Is she?
Who's strong in who she is?
You got to give it to the sister. She's very talented.
Sing.
In her business sense.
Beyonce, she can sing. She can sing.
Not just that she can sing, but she's very talented with her brand and her business sense.
But she's still
she's a very strong black woman. You know what I'm saying? You have to actually.
Diva, do you really think that's a strong black woman?
I would have to say any sister that makes it in this world and can hold her own with the men is a strong black woman.
She's not holding herself
but
her own
though?
With anybody. What in the world are you talking about?
What did you say, South Carolina?
At what cost?
That is true.
Forget the cost.
To me, Lena Horne was a strong black woman.
That's a strong
Darcy
black
Dan
woman.
Was a strong black woman.
Diane Carroll is a strong black woman.
Diane Carroll.
That's absolutely.
Well,
Gladys
yes.
Knight.
They're no longer in the mainstream now. I mean, Lena Horne was way before my time. Diane Carroll was before my time.
Condoleezza Rice.
And yes, there are beautiful black women. Most definitely, I would think Michelle would say that she was a role model for her daughters instead of Beyonce. But to each
their
own.
Young lady, if I may say something, young lady, Lena Horne may have been before your time. The others that you mentioned may have been before your time. But there's a certain morality, a certain posture that transcends the generations. Like, in other words, George Washington was way before my time. Okay, but he's an outstanding model of what America stands for. I mean, it's here's another one, William Henry Harrison, who's actually a distant cousin of mine. I look to him for inspiration. I look to him for catharsis, because a lot of what he stood for transcended the generations and lineages of time, if you will.
Now you better spell that for us.
What's catharsis?
Sorry.
No, that's very good. Excellent comment.
Listen, Eric's in the house. Get a dictionary.
Sorry.
Okay, but what is
Horn
and Diane Farrell and the likes of these women stand for?
But, Diva, the difference is, listen. If you what's happening, and we're at the end of Black History Month. But what's happened is, we don't teach modern history so that you know Felicia Rashad, you don't know Diane Carroll, you don't know that I think Diane Carroll was the first African American with her own African American with a sitcom.
On a sitcom, yeah.
On a sitcom.
Yeah.
I don't.
She was beautiful.
And what she had, we talk about racism inside of the industries, but you don't know what they had to go through to break the ice so that you can see the people behind it, and that they're still going on now when it comes to the bias of the media. We don't realize that Beyonce is not taking a stand for doing anything that's going to make her generation behind her better.
At all.
And that's what makes a strong black woman. A strong black woman, she sets a precedent that blazes a trail for the people that come behind her, so that they can march in her own footsteps. Beyonce, I don't want my daughter to do anything that Beyonce's done, because money does not give you power.
Let's put it like really where it's at. Beyonce has made it by being pimped by all the men in her life, including her daddy.
And let me say that also, even what's her name, the beautiful girl, Halle Berry, she is not a role model.
No.
She's beautiful. I don't knock her accomplishments. You know, but she is not a role model. Kerry Washington, I think she is a great actress. But she has not done anything to pattern my life and or to influence the future.
What about Oprah?
Oprah, I appreciate her accomplishments and what she's done, and I think what she's done in the media is brilliant. But she is not a role model for me.
Well,
even though I want to become like Oprah, but I don't want to become her.
I have to give Oprah the even though I don't agree with some things about her, but she has not been filthy or lewd to get where she wanted. She did get it off of talent and her intellect.
And that's what I'm not knocking that. I'm saying she, as a businesswoman, she has done some great things. But
absolutely,
as a role model, I think the blazing of the trail, if you put her up against a Diane Carroll, and even a Tina Turner.
She don't have to be a role model for everybody, and to say money don't equate to power, I totally disagree with that.
Pionki, sweetie, Pionki,
that wasn't even the conversation.
I said money does not make you a role model. I don't care how much money
you
make.
No, you mentioned money
Pionki
and power.
No, Diva called Beyonce a role model, and we said,
"No, I did not.
I did. I did.
Beyonce is a good business person,
Beyonce,
along with her husband.
Beyonce, listen.
She just said that she's a strong black woman. Did she not say that?
She said she's a strong black woman, but it started.
She's not strong.
But it started with Michelle Obama coming out and saying. They asked her who would she want to be a role model for her children, and she said Beyonce.
She did say that.
Oh,
that's where it came from.
She volunteered that information.
So it came from the White House.
Wow, that's a ringing endorsement, isn't it?
That's the issue. And every time there's an event there,
Beyonce
and Jay-Z is there.
I wouldn't exactly put that on par with the first Christmas tree in the White House being raised by my distant cousin Benjamin Harrison. Not exactly.
So,
I got a comment I'd like to make.
Pionki, I got seven people. Hold up. I just want Eric to introduce himself, since nobody knows who he is.
I don't know who he is.
He's in my studio.
Well, my name is Eric Wells. I'm 43 years old. I'm an NRA benefactor member, former member of the John Birch Society. I have my own web blog, glennkarenpresbyterian.blogspot.com. You know, we're talking about role models. You know, Oprah definitely has the airwaves. I mean, she is obviously the most visible black media mogul that has ever lived. Black media.
That's true.
Okay. Yet there again, I'm reminded of the words of the Reverend Dr. Francis Schaeffer, who was a very respected Reformed theologian. He died in 1987. And he said that the kind of liberalism and progressivism being championed today is no different than that which has led to the downfall of the nearly of every last one of the nearly 30 major empires and civilizations that have flourished on the face of the earth. Now, does Oprah Winfrey champion directly or tacitly transcendent moral truths that have withstood the test of time? Or does she champion the progressive, crass, relativistic, pluralistic tendencies that have led to the downfall of these civilizations? The answer is clearly the latter. And that, of it in itself, knocks her out of the ballpark for any consideration as a role model in my book. What are your thoughts, Bianchi? Young lady, what do you think?
I think I don't. Oprah is good for what Oprah does. There's a lot of women that, you know, come by wealth. There's a lot of black women, especially Nigerians, that out trump Oprah. But I was, as I was saying, referring to what I heard Tracy say about money and power, and I'm saying that money does equate to power if you know how to use it. It did for me.
Can I say this, Bianchi? Money equates to power.
You can say whatever you want. It's your show.
If you say money equates to power, and you have to put an addendum on the end and say, if you know how to use it, money does not equate to power. Because there's a lot of people with a lot of money that have no power. And we put, because of their prominence, because of their prominence and because of their affiliation with media, we tend to give them power that they do not have, but it's perceived power because actually they don't have any because they're not inflicting change. And if you don't make change, you don't have power.
Well, you change in what? In social?
Period.
No, well, right, period.
Your shoes,
so it doesn't have to.
Shoes.
It doesn't.
Listen,
it does,
changing your a dope dealer has money.
It doesn't have to do anything with anything social. I agree with you.
A dope dealer has money. Does he have power?
Yeah. Well, yes, he has a network.
Not only that, he has the power of the domain in which he operates. So, yes, absolutely, he does.
Now, ask you guys a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Would you consider Bill Cosby as a role model?
Absolutely.
A trailblazer,
why?
A pioneer, definitely.
Because of what he's done. I mean, if you go back into his history, go back to his beginning times, I think he was one of the first on television. He's the first African-American to have his own cartoon that was all African-American cartoon, if I'm not mistaken. And
wait,
actually, if
so
you go back
consider...
and find... Hold on. If you go back and find out what he when he was in the sitcom with the white guy, who was it? What was it called?
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby, High Spy.
High Spy. Yeah. If you go back to his history, if you go back and find out what he had to endure, Sidney Poitier, role model.
All
so you would consider Bill Cosby a role model, but you wouldn't consider Oprah Winfrey a role model.
Okay,
no.
two names, two names, Tracy.
Yeah.
Ben Carson, Clarence Thomas.
Oh, there you go.
Absolutely.
Ben Carson, yes. I am not a Clarence Thomas fan.
It doesn't matter.
But do I think he's a role model? Not a role model. I think he is he's a justice.
Too much of a shadow. He crafted the reputation of following Antonin Scalia. Now, I'm not saying, now I have the highest respect for Antonin Scalia, but if all you're going to do for the first several years he sat on the high court is echo the sentiments of Antonin Scalia like some puppet on a string, that's what sort of, it served to my mind to be a diminution of the tenure of Clarence Thomas.
He is no better than Obama.
Yeah.
When I say that,
let me
defend what I say when I say that. You have an African American on the Supreme Court. Yet, the African American on the Supreme Court does not impact change, and make a difference for being there. Yet Obama's in the White House, and you do not impact change for being there.
I disagree with that 1,000%. She's absolutely instituted change. The thing is,
what change?
Well, you should look at some of his rulings. That's the one thing. Many rulings on civil rights he has definitely agreed with and upheld, and some he did not, and that's the ones that the press gets a hold of and blast him with. The man is not stupid.
I didn't say he was stupid.
Well, no, I'm saying this. People want to say because he's a conservative. So yes, he's going to mirror Antonin Scalia. He's going to, because they both believe the same thing and have the same interpretation of the law, but not in all.
Who is that guy? All that noise in the background.
Eric,
why don't you mute them instead of muting me?
Because you talk too much. Hey, Eric,
well,
hold up. You
asked me a question. You asked me a question.
Then wait until you can answer it. I'm telling y'all, I'm not playing the talk over everybody today. I'm not in the mood, and I don't feel like clicking buttons because I'm trying to play a game.
I can tell. That's why I'm quiet. That's why I've been good. I can tell you're not in the mood.
I'm not. Eric, your mic is on.
Yes, ma'am.
No, wrong Eric.
Oh, wrong Eric? My fault.
Warren Eric.
Yeah.
With the noise in the background.
I'd have to say Ben Carson probably be a great role model.
I'm not, and it might be my bias again. I'm not a Clarence Thomas fan. I'm just not.
I am not either. I think he is exactly what some people called him, because he wanted to escape everything black that he could, and I don't agree with that. But I have to say this: the man, if you looked at his background and how he was raised, and the things that he went through, he is a role model.
He's a role model. Well, everybody's a role model or somebody.
No, ma'am. Not one that's a positive one.
I think we have to learn to draw a distinction between, you know, propensities or the weight or gravity of being a role model, you know, putting people on pedestals versus the frailty of man. Yeah. The first of the 5 points of the Calvinism is total depravity. We all have sinned and come short of the glory. I mean, I look at how great a draw. For example, one of my boyhood heroes was Hulk Hogan for the Make-A-Wish Foundation during the 80s. Mm-hmm. And he stressed to the young people, training, prayers, vitamins. But there again, look at some of the dysfunction that you've seen in his family. Look at the alleged steroid abuse. I mean, we're all fallible. We all have sin that comes short of the glory. I mean, I look at the music industry. We have to distinguish what's the difference between a singer, a recording artist, and an innovator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a singer would be someone like maybe Case. Case is an excellent R&B voice. I love that guy's voice.
Right.
An innovator would be someone like the late Roger Troutman. I mean, he brought the talk box to the mainstream.
Yes, he did.
A recording artist, you're looking at people like Sam Cooke, Marvin Gaye, Prince, musical genius, Stevie Wonder, people like that. Musical genie.
Sam Cooke was an absolute genius.
Oh, absolutely. Tell me about it.
And we don't even talk about them anymore.
No. He had in control because of how
still
he
alive?
Died. We,
pardon me?
No.
Is he still alive?
Killed.
No.
He was killed back in...
A long time ago.
Yeah. Back in the early 60s or something.
But then,
we don't teach it either.
I mean, when you look at what they glorify, you're going to have the BET Awards this weekend.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
I can't watch.
Not exactly the Kennedy Center honors, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And so you're going to have these awards. And so look at what they award and what they applaud, instead of digging deep and letting people find the Sam Cooks and bringing their family in and giving them awards for what they've done and educating people on people that blaze the way. Roger Troutman, that never got paid for what they really, really did, nor did they get the accolades for what they did to the whole music industry of today.
Correct.
Roger got paid.
not like that. I mean,
yeah,
some of his sampling, but as far as the Zap and Roger and them getting the they are not into the Jay-Z.
No, I mean,
if you put the Times up today, the pedestal that they give Jay-Z, Roger never got because of the time that we were in.
Nor should he have, though. I'm sorry. Jay-Z, I have to give Jay-Z one thing. He's an excellent promoter and businessman. And that's how Jay-Z became as big as he is. And he dared to not bow to the industry.
But doesn't that come into when you have timing?
Roger and them couldn't have done that.
That's what I'm saying, timing.
Yeah,
Roger
but,
himself could have done it, but he made the mistake of... See, I'm sorry.
Okay. I can get with you on that.
If you have an IQ anywhere higher than room temperature...
Right.
The only... If you have an idea that could be innovative and revolutionary...
Right.
The only dead weight you need around you is something that says York, Weeder, or DP on the edge.
Well, I
got had dead weight.
Oh, absolutely.
He
that's
had
true.
Dead weight.
But
and
it
that
was family.
Dead weight is what killed him.
That's
thank
true.
You.
It was family.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
true.
You.
What about two more names? Herman Cain... Don King.
Don
I like Herman Cain.
Now, let me say this.
Oh, in America!
Yeah, but you know what? You look what he accomplished.
Absolutely.
God bless him.
Now,
wow.
Now, let me say this. Don King is my friend. So I'm going to leave Don King alone, because the Don King that I read about and the Don King that I know, I think Don King is a brilliant man.
He was a brilliant man. That's,
I think Don
yeah.
King is a brilliant
he
man.
He wasn't a crook now.
Oh, wow.
But I also think that not only was Don King a brilliant man, but I think that Don Hanna was a brilliant man.
Don Hanna could probably have been the best legal mind in America, much less in just our area.
But then And for those of you who don't know who Don Hanna is, he was a local Democrat chair that understood the political machine. But I also think Jim Traficant is a brilliant mind.
Yeah, he's prolific.
But
Don
Hanna
had a potential too. Bill Chance had a lot of potential.
Yeah. Clarify that Don Hanna was a local lawyer that was a very high profile lawyer as well. For those of us, those of you who are not from this area.
A Chicago-style boss.
Yes, he was. And then when he took over the Democrat Party, because he started out as a Republican.
Yeah, he did.
Very few
yes.
people know that.
But I just because he asked the question. So you said
Herman
Cain.
And Don King.
I think Don King more than Herman Cain.
Okay.
As far as a role model?
Herman Cain is not as visible as Don King.
Yeah.
I do believe that Herman Cain, and this is, you know, being a five-point quinquarticular Calvinist, I tend to look at what moral strictures govern you,
yeah.
and I would have to go with Herman Cain in terms of the strictures
integrity,
that govern him.
Integrity?
Well, I wasn't going to come out and put it quite that way, but yeah. No. As for Don King, he's an innovator. I applaud him just on the grounds that his name is synonymous with the industry.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of boxing promotion, you don't think Tex Ritter, you don't think Bob Arum, you
right.
think
Don
King.
Don,
absolutely. But I have to say this, I have met with Don King and had spent some great, long, lengthy time with him. He is, the media gives you what they want you to see,
mm-hmm.
but spending one-on-one time, you find out that there are some people that their perception, their look, what they've been coined as, but you find out there's some brilliant, really brilliant minds
absolutely.
Behind. It's like, wow. And it had nothing to do with boxing. It just had to be with how he thinks about everything. It's like even his how he thinks about the Bible. It was just truly fascinating just listening to him dialogue. It was like, wow, I did not realize he had that much in him.
Absolutely.
Herman Cain may be the same, but I haven't had that personal one-on-one interaction with him. Whereas Don King is like, and you know, he's right here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, you're deep. You're just heavy.
I've talked to him on several occasions because of.
We need to get him on.
He was just get
that
on.
Would be so cool.
I would
him on. I never thought about that.
He was running that Boston camp up there.
Yeah, but I mean, we can get him on.
Yeah,
easily. He's amenable. We can get it. I just never thought about getting him on.
He
will
down.
Blow your mind.
Yeah, he's
now Herman Cain might be the same. 999 is my guy, but I don't know enough about him besides he ran for president, and he's the Godfather pizza guy.
Godfather.
And I'm quite sure, and he's a role model because of his business successes.
Sure,
but then
absolutely.
So is Bob Hill, who's here in Youngstown, who stays low key
yeah.
in industrial design.
Precisely.
I know him. Yes, I know him. His wife Charlene.
Yes.
The beautiful lady outside and in.
Yes.
Know.
There's some great people.
I would call them role models. I would call, definitely, and I've, you know, Charlene's actually a friend of my mother's, so I've been able to spend some time, you know, she's been at the house several times. Well, they both have. And they have a certain poise
mm-hmm.
that transcend.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the way they care of themselves.
Absolutely.
And that's the crux of the whole point. That's why, you know, the Tracy Winbushes of this world are less inclined to think of Beyonce as role model, despite her money, power, and influence, despite all that she wields, you know.
Because if you look at there, some when I talk, when I say Bob Hill,
mm-hmm.
you know, he has a quiet power.
Very much so.
Sure. Now, is that the contractor?
That's design. But then so does George Ogletree. Different people.
I have a question.
Different personas, different
question.
Way they reach out. And we're talking about African Americans.
Yeah.
They're local.
Right.
Whereas there are others, they're more known. They're more prominent. But when you look at, you know, the quiet thunder, you know, there are some people out there. I look at Clarence Smith.
Yeah.
Quiet thunder.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It says a lot. As a white guy, you look at the success of African Americans in the community and how it's been. It's amazing, and you know, role models for everybody. It's you know, great folks.
Dr. Ernest Perry, you know, you've got to give him credit.
Absolutely.
Now that is
absolutely.
But you know what's disturbing? A disturbing trend in the, shall I say, the urban milieu, if you will. Because of his diction and his style of dress, you know, he'll get far fewer accolades than someone with the bling bling.
Sure.
See,
yeah.
It's, where do we get to the point, you know, where flash has supplanted substance in terms of what's vital, what's important?
But that's media.
Important.
Media perception has told you bling is in charge, because if you have Calvin Klein on your behind, you think you are something, and nice on your feet. But if you walk out in a pair of Stacey Adams in a plain blue suit, and you don't think that you're anything more.
Well, I don't know. I do believe that television as a medium has some share of culpability, but the majority of the responsibility is on us. For example, as much as I loved Wile E. Coyote, I never tried jumping off a cliff.
But hold on. But remember, there was a time during the 80s
mm-hmm.
that they were having a hard time with young kids because they would see something on television. And then go do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happened. A lot of people try to be Superman and Batman.
They sure did. They used a whole lot of towels going down some stairs, didn't they?
I scraped up knees myself.
There you go.
So
did it not have influence?
It definitely had influence, but, you know, as I matured, I found that tendency never left me. It's just taken on different nuances commensurate with the time I've been on Earth. Like, in other words, Daniel Boone's second cousin is a very dear, dear friend of mine, Bob Boone. And a lot of times I draw on, you know, Boone's story, you know, the time when he was involved in an Indian massacre and was the lone survivor. I mean, the time he gave to a neighbor of his, whose wife suddenly died, a beautiful black walnut coffin that he intended for himself. I mean, I look at that kind of thing.
Sure.
And aspiring to, you know, to love the outdoors as he did, you know, am I truly worthy? That question presses me every time I hit the woods. Am I truly even worthy to tread the same ground that he tread, to hunt on the same lands that he hunted?
Oh, I hear you.
I look to that.
In this room, then, with that in mind, with the whole debacle and things that are going on right now in the upheaval,
yeah.
Who's for Jim Tressel coming back and being president or vice president of YSU?
I vote yes.
I do not vote him to be vice president of nothing.
That's it. President or vice president?
No, I said I don't vote for him to be vice president of anything. If he can't be president, then leave him where he is.
Tracy, yes, you want him, okay? That was your answer. Why?
That's not my answer.
Jim Tressel.
I like Jim Tressel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I would. It would be a prolific score for the university, for
right.
this valley, to put him at the helm of it.
I would say the same thing.
I
do want him because of that reason. I think that he would make some things right. He might not be the greatest educator in the world. He only has a master's versus a doctorate, which you need, you know, the others have had.
There's one person
he would definitely
I think
put YSU back on the map.
Who?
Me.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm available. All they have to do is call me up.
Mark knows everything. What was it?
Mark knows it all.
And Jeff knows everything.
and wait a minute. You got to give him. We got to have something for him because he came in here gangbusters in here today with knowledge. My goodness. So we got to give you something, my brother. I appreciate having you.
I tell you what, it's been a pleasure. This won't be the last
time. And he lives on the south side of Youngstown.
I don't know you. That's why I know your face, but I don't know you.
We'll talk about it after we get on.
Well, listen, I am at the end of my day. I want to thank everybody. Guys, we'll be back on Monday. Pionk, I'll let you talk on Monday. You guys have had a show on Monday. I just needed to get some things out. And because I had my friend come in, I'm glad Eric stopped in.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I've been friends with his mom for a long time and met him through his mom. And he is he's very, very quiet, and we're going to get him more engaged, whether he likes it or not, in the political process. And the
he's social. Got a really good radio voice.
Yes, he does. Yes, you do.
Yes, God bless you all.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So you guys have a good day. God bless you. We'll see you back on Monday. Mark, thank you. Justice Kennedy,
Michael,
don't forget. She'll be on the ballot this year. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Hello?
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 Who is this?
Who is this to?
This is Diva. Who is this?
This is Hal from Pianchi.
Oh. Pianchi, why you sound different?
Because I was typing.
Oh. I'm just confused how they can say that Bill Cosby is a role model based on his morals. And
Bill Cosby don't have no morals. He had a baby with a white woman.
And wait, but he cheated on his wife and had an affair with a woman and left this woman with a child that was maybe his, maybe not his, the one who was trying to extort him for money. So I'm trying to figure out how they raise him up as a role model and not raise Oprah up as a role model. Is it because Oprah supported Obama?
Well, yeah, that has something to do with it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you guys understand, Oprah, she grew up without running water. So, I mean, that's an accomplishment to where she is today.
Exactly. I mean, for her to be, I mean, she was at the, I mean, I remember when Oprah first came out, she was trying to do it like everybody else with all the fighting and screaming and all that mess carrying on, and she decided to switch it up.
She said, took her show in different directions.
More. And they told her she was going to lose her show, her ratings was going to tank, all that. And
who told her that?
She stuck with it, and she changed the direction of her show, and it's all the, where the rest of them at? Where the Phil Donahue's, Sally Jesse Raphael's.
Well, Oprah was something new on the scene at that time. The interaction between a show host and a live audience, studio audience, always have been popular. She just took it to another level. Then she added things onto it. Plus, she came along at a time when there was a pressure for blacks to be in more prevalent in the position that she was working in.
Yeah, but there was pressure, but there was also great opposition for one. Not only was she a female, but she was a black female. And she ain't the prettiest, you know, crayon in a coloring box.
Well, she
ain't a pretty woman at all.
No, she used to be a nice looking woman.
And put her on TV, and then her weight at the time, she went against everything that you would consider a TV host should be.
And I just realized something, too. I never realized that Harpo was Oprah spelled backwards.
You never realized that?
I never realized that.
Oh, my gosh. I think that's how she said her mother got her name. No, let me quit. I'm just kidding.
Well, see, the thing that in Bill Cosby, I think Bill Cosby tried to buy NBC. At the time, NBC, CBS, and ABC was the three, and NBC was the weakest. And they wouldn't allow him to do it.
Yeah, but all these people that they're upholding as role models, and they're saying, well, their character's flawed, and then Tracy went on to say, well, Don King, you know, the media portrayed him a certain way, but if you really get to know him, he's not what the media portrayed. I mean, well, I guess I could say the same about President Michelle Obama when it comes to Beyonce, since they're close friends. There is something about Beyonce that she's seeing that we don't get to see.
Well, Beyonce ain't pretty neat when she take all this stuff off.
Yes, she is. I think
no, she's
more
neat.
Beautiful without
I've seen her
makeup.
I've seen a balcony shot of her one time, and that woman wasn't pretty.
She didn't have nothing.
Not everybody's going to take the best of shots, pictures, Bianchi, but she's very beautiful without her makeup. I think she's prettier without it than with it.
Well, you know, you a female and I'm a male. I'm attracted to females, and I wouldn't pick her as the first.
Beauty is beauty. I mean, I know an ugly woman when I see one.
Yeah.
And you're not attracted to yellow women anyway. You're attracted to dark-skinned women.
You got that right. I was just getting
ready
to
say that.
That's
why you're going to look at her differently.
Well, even if I put on dark glasses, she still looks kind of cantankerous.
So let me ask you something. What do you think about the model Iman then?
Well, she's a nice looking lady, but I think she's going to get defiled in Hollywood. In order to be successful in that venture, you got to do some crazy things.
No, Iman is no, she's not really.
Is that the lady that played on 12 Years?
Huh?
Is that the lady that played on 12 Years?
No, Iman is, no. Okay, so I take it you don't know who Iman is. Iman is, she's a dark-skinned model. She's, I think, 70s, 80s, here, 90s maybe.
She's married
to...
Late 70s.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't remember her, but maybe I don't.
Beautiful. I mean, she is beautiful.
Well, I remember that.
She's married to David Bowie.
We were talking about they were comparing her and Grace Jones at one point, and I was like, "You what?" Yeah. You remember she played in Iman played in Conan the Destroyer, I believe.
Oh, you mean
Grace,
Conan?
Grace,
that lady, Grace. I thought her name was Grace something.
No. There were two different movies. Where Iman played in one. No.
She play in James Bond?
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones played in Conan the Destroyer.
Conan the Destroyer. Iman played in Star Trek. One of the Star Trek movies. She played as a shapeshifter or whatever they call it. With the funky looking eyes.
Yeah, she played shape-shifting alien named Martia in Star Trek VI, the Undiscovered Country.
Yeah. I'm trying to see her.
I have to Google her. She's.
She did now, ain't she?
No, she's
no,
no.
No, it's spelled Iman, Iman.
I can't believe you don't know who she is.
Is she from Nigeria? Is she from Nigeria or where?
From Somalia. She's Somalian.
Iman.
Iman. And she's aged so beautifully. I can't believe that woman is going on 60 years old.
Oh, yeah, I've seen her, but I don't remember seeing much of her in movies, though. She done a skin thing, didn't she?
Yeah, she has a cosmetic line.
Now, I agree with, I think, more of John King and his achievements because of where he came from. And also the industry that he in. He's definitely in a gangster industry.
Oh, yeah, he can sell water to a well.
Let me ask you guys this. What do y'all think of Tyler Perry?
Well, he's doing what he's got
to
do.
I would consider him a role model considering where he's come from and the innovations that he's made, including in TV, because if I recall correctly, they were not going to let him in TV because they wanted him to take Jesus out of, not use the word Jesus. So, he said he wasn't going to do it. If that was how they wanted him, then he was not coming to television without his savior.
Yeah, that's why he did so many plays.
Yeah, and then he ended. Eventually, they gave in. He was in such demand. Eventually, they gave in. And so he can do his shows however he wants. He has his own programming.
Money talks.
This lady here, Iman Abdulmajid, I know she got a bitter for the United States, knowing what it done to her country.
She is married to David Bowie. But what my question is, do you think that she's beautiful?
She's nice looking.
Oh my God.
I think David Bowie looked like, I don't care too, well, I don't know nothing about him. I wouldn't use her as a role model because she's married to him.
So you wouldn't use her as a role model because she's married to David Bowie?
No.
Why?
Nor would I use Sidney Porter because he was married to a white woman.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't use them because their spouses are white.
Right.
So you're a bigot too, Bianchi?
No, I think that a role model would be a black man and black woman. Actually, black males rose to their greatest achievement with that combination throughout the history of the world.
Oh, Bianchi, Bianchi, Bianchi. You're honest.
Yeah, I am honest. I wouldn't use if Obama was married to a white woman. I wouldn't. The first time I wouldn't vote for him. I didn't vote for him the second time, even though he was married to Michelle.
Do you think he would have became president if he was married to a white woman?
It would have been very. In 2008, it would have been very. It would have been a toss up. But in 2012, I think it wouldn't have mattered. But I wouldn't have voted for him.
If he is married to, if he was married to a white woman, you wouldn't have voted for him in 2008.
No.
Wow. What? I'm just trying to figure out, what does the spouse matter?
He's sleeping with her.
Well,
of course, he can sleep with what he wants to. He can sleep with a horse if he wants to, but. You know,
so,
you asked me how I would look at it.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, what is your problem with interracial marriage?
I wouldn't want that
to
be.
I
wouldn't want that to be. I wouldn't want that
to
be a message sent to the male siblings in my family.
So you believe that the races shouldn't mix?
Well, I'm not religious, but the Bible says that.
I'm sorry, there's nothing in the Bible that says. Religious,
yes, it does.
Races should not mix.
Yes, it does. It says you shouldn't marry your daughters to their sons, nor your sons to their daughters.
No. You're taking it out of context. That has more to do with the country than with race.
Amen said that he wanted a pure solo child. That's why come he had immaculate conception with Hatshepsut's mother, bringing about. He was tired of mixed marriages. That guy did say that. Also, in Yahweh, on the cultural aspect, they would not marry the Assyrians. Assyrians weren't white. If you want to look at the Yahwehs, Yahwehs was black people. Black people was against marrying outside their ethnicity back in them days.
Well, black people are kind of still, especially black women.
So it does say that in the Bible. That's what it means.
Okay.
See, we there's no context. All you got to do is look at the culture. Religion come out of culture, as I've said so many times before. I mean, just think about it. We know that. I mean, culture, people have ideas, they have practices, traditions, and so forth, which sooner or later become religiousized. And that's what it was. They created their God. The God told them, don't do this, don't do that. They followed.
Well,
now today anything goes. Like, that's the way society accepts it. Like, it's okay. You have to respect it. That don't mean you have to like it. Angela Bassett was a lovely looking lady.
Still is.
Mm-hmm. Women nowadays are so artificial, though. They go in the bedroom, take off their wares, and come back out. You don't know what the hell you got.
Steven, you got to turn off Jerry's playing in the background.
That's not me.
Oh, that was you?
No.
Not me neither.
Okay.
I think that's Eric.
That's Eric.
Eric always does that. Eric will be on the line and you won't say nothing. You wouldn't think he was on the line, and you hear a whole conversation.
I tell you what, they had a guy that got arrested. I heard you guys talking about it on the air. I don't know if you were talking about the guy from South Carolina that got arrested for spanking his child with a switch.
No, we weren't talking about that. But that's...
Yeah,
wait a minute,
happened.
He got arrested for spanking his child?
For whipping his child with a switch.
Where is that at?
Right here in South Carolina. In Florida, South Carolina.
I would gladly go to jail, get out, and do it all over again.
That was the second time he'd been arrested. That's the second time he'd been arrested.
Well, who called the police on him?
The
child?
The neighbor? The neighbor
did. I'll whoop my neighbor with a switch.
What neighborhood is this in?
It's over in it's in Florence, South Carolina. The guy that locked up, he was a white guy, and he was a pastor of assistant pastor of a church over there.
Yeah.
Didn't he use the Bible says spare the rod, spoil the child? He didn't use that as a defense.
I don't know if he did or not, but I know they got him locked up.
How old was the child?
8 years old.
Yeah, he ain't got no business messing with him.
What, spanking him?
Right, ain't nothing wrong. What's wrong with spanking a child?
Nothing.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to figure out.
That's the one thing I hate about
the
far left, is they think everybody should live in a society as they deem and want it. And I'm like, you know what? Just because you want to co-dependent parenting with your child and do all that other stuff with your children, leave people in it. As long as they're not, abuse and discipline are two separate things. And we need to draw the line of what is abuse and what is discipline. Because it makes no sense that somebody can't whoop their child. And that's why you have these bad, ratchet kids now.
Yeah, but they can go out there in the streets and the police can tase them and shoot them.
Exactly.
You know, this lady of mine was married to Spencer Haywood.
Yeah. But check this out, Beaver. Check this out.
That's you making all that noise.
No, it's not me. That's not me. There's a kid in my wife's class. And the kid comes into class, he curses. He's disrupted the principal. The principal will not suspend him, okay? Well, today he came to school, and he threatened my wife, told her he was going to kill her. And she sent him to the principal's office, so the principal puts him in in-school suspension. While he was in in-school suspension, he tells the lady that was watching him in in-school suspension that he's got a gun in his book bag, and he's going to blow her brains out. So they finally sent him home. Now, this is the same kid. He dotted some other kid's eye last year, and they wouldn't send him home.
That kid needs severe psychiatric intervention.
Well, everybody can see that, but the principal refuses to send this cat home.
Why?
Well, I feel sorry for him. No, don't feel sorry for him.
I get that. No, I mean, I get that you're going to have compassion, but your compassion is not helping him. It's hindering him.
Exactly.
Exactly. And
he needs
and
severe
like,
psychiatric intervention if he's threatening to harm people.
when he's in that class, if he's not sleeping, he's cursing.
It sounds like he has some type of psychiatric disorder.
Well, there's several of them at that school that really need some attention. But the principal is like, I don't feel that, you know, they're not going to be, you know, when they're at home, it's no better. But the kid comes to school and disrupts class and, you know, says whatever he wants and does whatever he wants.
This is when y'all community needs to get together and put pressure on that principal. Because
the thing is, now this is where it gets crazy, Diva. They have gone to the school board and voiced their opinion. But the school board seems to be accepting. Every time they bring up an issue, they'll look at it. Things will change for about a week or so. The school board will come out and they'll do their inspection. And then all of a sudden, within a month, it's gone back to the way it was before. The principal implemented a policy where you have to wear a uniform, but then made it voluntary. Now, does that make any sense? You got to wear a uniform if you want to. So,
you know, Haywood took National Basketball Association to court. All to the Supreme Court. Huh?
For what?
For players having the right to come out of college and go straight to the NBA early.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he's been ostracized for it because they won't elect him to the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
And you know, that's the same thing that I talk about with, I don't know if Kurt Flood went in the Hall of Fame or not, because, you know, he's done the same thing as far as free agency, where a player had a right to play for who they want to play.
Right.
But that's the same thing you see going on with Barry Bonds, probably.
I don't have that.
Well, they are...
South Carolina.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so my child wouldn't be in that school. What type of this school district? Is this an underserved school district, or is this
it's a kind of one school district. But, it's a nice district. But I'll put it this way. It seems like the school board is afraid of its shadow. They had a lawsuit a few years back, and they wound up losing the lawsuit, so I guess they're afraid of another one.
What was the lawsuit about?
It was concerning a little girl that had gotten into a fight with another little girl, and they were saying that there was no supervision in the classroom. The problem was there was supervision in the classroom. It was not a certified teacher that was in the classroom. So the lawyer was arguing that the children should have a certified individual in the classroom at all times. But they never got the chance. They never got the chance to go to really do anything in court because the school district settled.
So they're not worried about a lawsuit in case this young man tries to hurt somebody.
There you go.
That's asinine thinking to me, that you're so, on one hand, you're worried about a lawsuit, but on the other hand, you're not worried about a more plausible lawsuit, because if he hurts someone, my daughter's school, my daughter, I about lost my top. She came home and told me the boy across the street called her a slut. And I'm like, because he has discipline problems. You know, we live in a good district. All my life, I was raised in inner city. We were told in the good district, you don't have these problems. But I'm finding out that you have bad kids no matter where you go. It's just depending on the school and how they handle them. Well, the little boy called my daughter Sweat. Marched over there and got his mother and him. But my daughter begged me. She said, no, Mom, don't do it. The school handled it. And they gave him in-school detention. He can't even ride the bus now because he's such a problem. So his mom had to get him private transportation.
Yep, I tell you,
man. How you don't call you a slut? He called her a slut because this white boy likes her.
Okay.
Right. Well, because he's black, and my daughter's black, and I'm like, well, what's he? She's like, he does have a problem, but I was like, so he called you a slut because this white boy likes you, and you like the white boy back, so he called you a slut, and he called her friend who's gay a whore.
How old is this friend that's gay?
He's 13.
How do you know you're gay at 13?
Oh, my gosh, my daughter has two friends. I just found out my daughter has two friends that are gay. One is a boy, and another is a girl.
Well, how do they know they're gay? Are they having sex with each other?
Well, how does my daughter know she's heterosexual? She knows that she likes boys, and she knows that she would be sexually interested in a boy. At between ages of 10 and 13, you hit puberty, you start understanding your sexual feelings and who kids start. Don't
so
say
your
y'all
daughter having
aroused
sex?
At 10, 13.
Your daughter having sex?
No, my daughter's not having sex, but my daughter is coming into her hormones, and so we're having the sex talk. And she knows that she's sexually attracted to boys. She's not sexually attracted to girls.
And she's never had sex before.
You don't have to have sex to know who you're sexually attracted to. You're going to get your hormones. Come on, Pianchi. Did you have sex before you got your first boner as a kid? Okay, then. You ain't have to have sex for it to happen. Girls, just because we don't have the same part as y'all don't mean we don't get...
You say she's sexually attracted to boys.
Yes.
The attraction, how does sex play into it? What does she feel?
When she sees that she can marry and have babies with. That's why she knows she's sexually attracted.
What does she know about having babies?
I talk to my daughter about having babies. I'm not going to let my daughter be out there blind.
So what you use as an example of a penis?
What do you mean, what do I use as an example as a penis? I showed her a picture.
You showed her a picture and said that's where this goes, huh?
I'd rather me show her than some knucklehead boy showing her and she's getting curious and doing something that she don't need to be doing.
Well, how does she know about the feeling?
It's natural. You mean to tell me you never came into feelings once you started getting hormones?
No, I'm talking about the feeling from the sexual act.
You know, that's not what I'm talking about, the feelings from the sexual act. She has no clue about the feelings of the sexual act.
Well, that's the point I'm talking about, because eventually, I mean, evidently, when she's with the girl is trying to give to another girl the same feeling from the sexual act that they would receive from a boy.
No, but when you're kids, you're not thinking about sex.
What?
I know when I had a boyfriend,
that's why I'm
like,
telling you
whoa,
that she don't know. She, her, you saying she got sexual attraction to this boy is just bogus. She might like the boy because of a person.
Pianchi. Whatever, Pianchi.
That makes a bunch of sense, bro. That really does.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
What he said was a girl is trying to give another girl the sensation she would feel from a guy.
Yes, that is true. That's why you call them lesbians. But the fact of the matter is kids think of relationships differently than adults.
Did you teach her about straps on?
She likes girls. That's all I can tell you. Her friend knows she likes girls.
Did you teach her about a strap on?
Excuse me?
Did you teach her about a strap on?
Why would I teach my daughter about a strap-on? My daughter's not
because
gay.
She gonna ask, because she will probably be curious, well, what the hell the two girls have in common?
She doesn't.
As far as sexual
gosh,
attraction.
They don't think of it in terms as sexual attraction like we think of it in terms of sexual attraction.
Well, then it's just attraction to one person to another. That's all it is.
The girl knows that she likes girls, and the boy knows that he likes boys. He knows that when he said it's something about seeing a guy that attracts him. Breath, he said boobs don't attract, is not attractive to him. The girl sees boobs and she says that's attractive to her. She likes.
Yeah, you could take a.
We learn about sex through our own bodies.
You could take two 4-year olds, one girl and one female, put them in a bathtub. They wouldn't know the difference because they have and leave their pants on. And then, so what would be the excuse of the boy having attraction?
You're trying to make a scenario between 4-year-olds and 13-year-olds? 13-year-olds who have hormones?
You can do the same thing with a 13-year-old.
4-year-olds don't have hormones.
Leave his short, leave his pants, leave his underwear on.
Coming into your school pee.
His DVDs on, leave her panties on.
It doesn't matter. A 13-year-old, when you start to get hormones, when your hormones start to develop and certain body parts start to develop, certain other things are going to start happening. And you can't say it doesn't. Because the first time you were 10, 11, 12, 13, and you saw a pretty girl walking past and you got a hard on, you had no control over that.
I got a hard on because I had to piss.
You never got a boner just from seeing a girl as a little boy.
Nope, I had a hard on because I had to piss.
Whatever.
Here's the thing. It works a little bit different for young boys. We don't just because we see a good looking girl, that doesn't make us have an orgasm or have
when you
a,
see
a,
I'm not
a,
saying
an
erection. Orgasm, but when you see a girl that you're interested in that you like, and your thoughts,
erection.
You don't have those same thoughts and feelings when you're 4 years old. You don't have those thoughts.
Well, what do girls do? They panties get wet and they clit get hard or what?
Same thing.
Their panties get wet.
It's hard to explain to you how a female gets aroused without sounding very.
They don't
work. Same tingling feelings you guys get in your equipment. Women, females, same tingling feelings.
All right.
When our hormones are, you have no control over. You see TV, the way videos and stuff are now. Not everything is rated G. Not everything is rated
P. Need to mute their radio, man.
As much
as you
try. That sounds like it's Reggie. As much as you try to keep your kids from watching and seeing certain things, can't always. When a kid is going into their hormones, they're going to learn about, first they learn sex about sex through their own body. As a mother, did I teach my daughter about her body parts? Yes, I did. Because I wanted her to know the difference between face touching, someone who is touching her shoulder, and the difference between somebody who is touching her inappropriately.
Anybody home?
So when my daughter came to me and wanted to know about sex, did I have that conversation with her? Yes, we're still having that.
I hope you guys are having that conversation
with your sons and your daughters instead of letting out there blindly and letting some idiot try to teach them the wrong way.
I'm gonna tell you a story that one of my friends told me. She's a female, okay? She's got a 3-year-old son. All right. So she would take her son in the shower with her and take a shower. All right? So she would tell him to take the washcloth and wash everything up and make sure, you know, you wash your face, wash it behind the ears. And then she said, you make sure you wash that thing down there, too. Because if you don't wash it up good, it'll fall off. And he looks up at her and says, is that what happened to yours, Mommy? That's what she said. It was time for him to start taking a bath in the shower on his own.
I stopped bathing with my daughter at 8. She was like 2.
I have never had no tingling. You're talking about a tingling. I never had no tingling.
So you never had a tingle when you were a little kid, when you were 10, when you were first coming into puberty. You saw a girl bent over in gym. You never had that little feeling like...
And they was mad because I got another job.
That didn't happen until I kissed one.
Because I told him I was quitting.
And how old were you?
Ready? What y'all firing over there? Breaking the legs?
14.
You were 14. Okay, then. So at that time when you kissed that girl and you had the little tingly feeling, you knew that you were sexually attracted to girls.
Yeah.
But you even knew before then that you were sexually attracted to girls.
Oh, I like girls.
You take it easy.
I'm not sexually, but I like them. I didn't
but
know
you,
nothing
okay.
about
sex. Okay, see, at kids don't think like we think. They know what they like. If you like a girl, you like a girl. You're a boy. And if you're a girl, you like a boy. But same thing for homosexuals. Is her friend knows that she likes girls. Her gay friend, the boy, knows he likes boys. Like I told her, I don't get it because I like men. Like she told me, she said she has no interest, no desire in being with a female. She likes boys. So
she
don't have
no female friends.
We don't have any female friends.
Your daughter.
My daughter has lots of female friends. She has female friends and male friends.
But what is she saying? She don't desire to be with him. What I mean, in what manner?
She doesn't desire. She does not like girls in that way.
In what way?
In a homosexual way.
Having
she
sex?
Knows,
how she know about that?
She look, oh, my gosh. Again, two girls. You got a girl who knows that she has a friend who knows that she likes girls. Sometimes you just know. At that age, you know by then. You know. Like
what does
was,
she want to do with the girl,
I
man?
I
don't believe in that stuff. That's
life.
Crazy. Come on, dude.
I ain't never desired to kiss no girl. I ain't never desired to hug no girl. I ain't never desired to grow up, marry, and have babies with no girls.
You ain't never hugged no girl.
I never desired when I was
How
a
you
kid.
Doing?
I never
hug.
Desired to hug a girl. No.
I'll see you later. Hug.
No. I mean, I'll hug a girl now, but when I was a kid, no. No, I never had a desire to be around females like that. I liked boys. I knew at 5 years old I liked boys.
This stuff about, I wonder if David Bowie is a homosexual.
Why do you always
have
to change the conversation?
You know
you're doing some fancy stuff.
I wondered that at one point. I really wondered that because he had a look about him that is just asexual. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but white
does,
men
does.
Back in the 70s, 80s, that androgynous look was in. That ambiguous look was in for them.
Well, I tell you what, it didn't do nothing for him.
Well, did something that he got her.
Well, Mick Jagger.
Yep, David Bowie's wife caught him in bed with Mick Jagger.
Well,
and answer that.
What about Steven Tyler?
Now, how in the world did Iman marry somebody like this who's a homosexual? That's crazy, man.
Well, what about Heidi Klum marrying what's his name?
Seal.
What's her boy name?
Seal.
Seal, yeah. I had a hard time quite understanding. It had to have been the man's talent that got in that.
Not necessarily. When women have been hurt in relationships, especially by men who we deem very handsome and successful, when an ugly guy comes along or a male who is considered less attractive comes along and treats her like a queen, it's over. She's going to fall in love. Because the man that Heidi Klum had a baby with was a billionaire, successful, considered handsome, everything that a woman should aspire to be with, everything that we as women told we need to be with, and he treated her like dirt. Still came along, swept her off her feet. Looks didn't matter. That's how the ugly guys get all the beautiful women, if you want to know. She's more likely she's been hurt by a handsome guy.
Now, see, that ain't necessarily true, Diva. You saying
huh?
that you saying that what you saying the guys that you deem ugly ain't got no game.
Let me ask you something, Diva. Would you want a man sticking his penis in you after he done had it up in a fecal infested butthole
Did
or another male?
Did I answer that question? I said no. I would not marry someone who is homosexual or bisexual.
And think if you're doing a BG to somebody like that.
The what?
Oh,
I thought
no.
it was a BJ. I didn't know it was called a BG.
BJ, yeah, BJ, I'm sorry.
I'm like the bubble guts. I thought that's what they're doing.
Do you chew bubble gum while you're doing it or what? Chew dentine?
I don't want to be with a guy who is bisexual or homosexual. I have no desire to.
But that's the difference between Christianity. Most Somalians are Muslims. They wouldn't have never went that way, but them Christians would do any damn thing.
But, hey, Bianchi, what's the deal with folks getting so upset with Uganda? They just passed that anti-gay law.
Yeah, the president needs to sign it, though.
I mean,
yeah, he said he was going to sign it.
I mean, come on, people.
I think it's a little strict as far as killing somebody, but other than that, I agree with it.
I'm glad you live in America and not Africa, because that makes no sense.
I'm glad I spent a lot of time in Africa, even rather than stay all my time in America.
Wrong people can't live their lives or not live their lives based on somebody else's prejudice and bias.
No, but Diva, there's a reason they're doing it. AIDS run rampant over there. These guys are raping children. I mean, you know, and they're spreading like crazy.
Men on the down low, then they go with their women.
Exactly.
Diva, tell Reggie to turn his mute his mic.
I don't think he's even hearing us. We got to tell Tracy on him.
I can't believe he don't left his stuff on all that long. Hell, we listening to his business.
Hey, we listen long enough, we can find out his social security number.
All right.
His address, credit card. And if he's married,
where he
had
his
girlfriend there.
Where he behind his nickel bag.
Oh, man.
I saw the craziest thing on Facebook. The police goes into this guy's shop. He's an undercover. The guy's an undercover cop. And plants crack on the counter.
Oh,
yeah,
I've seen that.
And I'm like, come on now. This is crazy. This is stupid.
And they actually arrested the shop owner.
That's why you have cameras in here. Yeah,
they
arrested.
Right. They arrested the shop owner. It wasn't until they had the footage from the cameras that they had to drop the case. But I wonder what happened to that police officer. Well, no, that wasn't the police officer. That was the police sent the informant in there to do that.
I seen a woman in Detroit stand her ground, a black woman. They got that out. But these brothers go kick her door in and come in on her, man, she lit their ass up.
I don't blame her.
She had something.
Something like that, you shouldn't even have to go through the system. That makes no sense.
She had an automatic something, man. Can you imagine these fools kicking in this woman's door and her kids in there in broad daylight, man, on camera. They had a camera on the porch.
Yeah, I see. That ain't gonna work.
Just kick the damn door in.
Dead. You'd be dead on that one.
Yeah.
Now, you won't hear nothing about that on the news. If it's a white man killing a black man, it's all over the news.
What's that?
I tell you. Listen, I didn't realize there were so many videos on Facebook, but I saw this video. I guess they were in Jamaica or someplace. But this cat is dancing in the middle of the street, and then all of a sudden, he decides he's going to try the guy wire for the electrical pole and starts dancing on the pole. He fries up top. Yeah, he fries himself.
You talking about people looking good. I think Jay-Z is lucky to have a woman as good as she, but Beyonce, because Jay-Z is a rough-looking dude, man.
Yeah.
It's them lips and that swag.
I was surprised on that marriage, though.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
Beautiful women like powerful men. Well, women like powerful men. Women like powerful men.
The prettiest woman that for, yeah. in right. show business, I thought, was Lena Horne. Like, that was a pretty woman. Lena Horne put them all to shame. All
right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay.
I actually like Diane Carroll.
Okay.
Not only is she beautiful, but she is a wonderful actress. I like her. I like Lynn Whitfield.
But why did they get
Angela
so mad
Bassett.
With Diane Carroll when she did Dynasty?
Huh?
Why did they get so mad with Diane when she did Dynasty?
Why did they get so mad with Diane because she did Dynasty?
Yeah, she did Dynasty when she came
on.
But
wasn't she with a white man on that show?
Yeah. Why did
you
get mad?
You know black people can't handle that.
Look,
that's why I'm gonna start looking at Nigerian movies.
As you know, I don't have a problem with interracial dating or marriages.
So. I do.
I've seen some Nigerian films on Netflix, but somehow they didn't have the caption. The caption dial was a little bit off because there ain't no way they were saying what the caption was saying.
My daughter, when I take her to get her hair braided, the Africans, they always put on those type of movies. They're in English, though, most of them. Very interesting.
Now, this one, these were different. And the music videos. And the other video, I don't see how the woman. I don't see they hips must have springs in them or something.
What?
Their hips must have springs in them.
What do you mean?
When they dance, the way they dance.
Oh.
Nurse manager, please take the call.
That's like nurse going 1 month. The one pass away.
Sounds like two people having two separate conversations.
That's Eric and Reggie.
Oh, you know, start looking at what I'm looking at you better. Keep me. Yeah.
Reggie. Like, how do you not realize that your phone is still dialed into the show?
Reggie. Yeah, he might have been talking about a murder.
Reginald. Oh, Reginald.
Oh, man, this is a neat show here. Angry Divas, the white man bitch.
Yeah, are you trying to say something?
No, honest, it is. We diss on everything from clothes, current events, black female enterprise, black feminism, black female rights, black female sexuality, black female health.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And that's a website?
No, it's a show.
Oh, wow.
Blog talk show.
Oh,
oh
okay.
Wow. I need to call. That's not a show for me.
Oh,
the black feminine enzyme. It's in pop culture.
I got banned from several shows on Blog Talk.
Really?
I
have been asked to be a part of several Blog Talk shows. I've never been banned from one.
I actually had one that used to come on at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then we switched to 8 o'clock at night. So, yeah. So, Diva, did y'all have a Black History Month program at y'all church?
No.
No?
Uh-uh. We don't.
Why not?
Because my pastor, while he is pro African American community, he just feels that it's just better to just speak about American history. He's of the same mind as Tracy when it comes to Black History Month. Like, he supports and celebrates Black History Month, but the fact that we also have white prisoners and we don't have a White History Month, he feels like
they do have White History Months. They have all, they have history. They got the Italian American History Month.
So,
they got,
I mean, he's just of the mind of,
Well, Bianca, tell the truth now. You know, Italian American History Month is really Black History Month. You know that.
They got several other ethnic groups History Month.
It doesn't bother me that he doesn't, that we don't celebrate Black History Month.
I walk up out of there.
I'm more bothered that the school doesn't celebrate it, that the school doesn't teach on it, because the reason why I say that is because the books that students are using to learn doesn't teach about prominent Black African Americans in our society.
I got one for you, Diva. Who was the first African American to win the Nobel Peace Prize?
I have no clue.
I heard his name, but I can't think of it.
A gentleman by the name of Ralph K. Bunch.
Yeah,
I was going to say an old Black guy.
He done it because he wrote the Balfour Agreement.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know how the hell you call that peace. They blowing each other up over there ever since then.
Ever since then.
I wonder if they want to take President Obama's Nobel Peace Prize back from him.
Oh, hell yeah. If that wasn't a damn joke.
I love the guy, but I just was like, what? I was scratching my head
about
on that.
That is that they? You had to discuss that before, you know,
I was
just beforehand.
Like I've never
8 months
seen
before.
Them be pro. I was just like, I was scratching my head. I said, what, huh?
No, what it was, a person would have to be nominated, and that would have been way before he would have been nominated that before he was even president in 2008.
Yeah, he was nominated before he was president.
Right, so you knew something was going on there.
But the fact is, I just thought that was weird. That
he shouldn't have would have. Why would you give him the Peace Prize? And what history did he have in foreign policy?
Right.
He was a state senator.
Right. I thought they assumed going forward, they assumed he was a pacifist. But he's not, and nor did he ever claim to be a pacifist. I don't know why they thought that.
How can you nominate somebody until they demonstrate what they're all about as it relates to the nomination?
Exactly. I wonder if they want to take it back.
Hell yeah, they probably do.
That's crazy. I bet it'll teach them to stop being political in their nomination process.
And the money that went along with it. I think he won $1 million.
I was just like, what? I was shocked. I think he was shocked. You can tell by his speech he was shocked.
Ask anybody about that. They say, well, he's the president. He needs it. Yeah, okay.
Mm-mm. No. No. I'm
now
sorry. I love the president. I support him. I will always support him. But he did not meet the qualifications of a Nobel Peace Prize earner.
Well, I'm getting ready to get off here, Diva. I'll talk to you Monday, maybe.
Me too.
All right, bye-bye.